नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते। तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामो 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 हरे हरे। So we have entered the fifth chapter of the first canto of eighth canto. They have entered the fifth chapter of first canto. I just met them and came here. So let's revise for a while. We had little revision there also. So can someone summarize the contents of the first chapter? So what are the main contents of the first chapter of eighth canto? Who is there? Yes, Samarpan Gopru, you were there, na? First chapter? Yeah, now you can speak. Just 3 days back you heard. If you quickly speak, then Sachidural Prabhu is waiting to speak the second chapter. Okay, Abhimanyu Brand Prabhu. How does the chapter begin?
When Sukadev Goswami finished about Hiranyakashyap's pastime, then Parikshit Maharaj asked question to speak further about Manus.
I have heard about Swayambhu Manus. I want to hear more about other Manus.
Other Manus. Then he begins with the second Manu. Second, third, fourth. He speaks, and while speaking he tells about in Gajendra pastime happened in fourth Manvantara.
Summarize the whole chapter, you came to the end. Spent at least 2-3 minutes on the chapter. What all he spoke?
Spoke about the, who was the second Manu, who was that Manu.
Okay, what are the six elements of a Manvantara?
Manu, then Indra, who is the king Indra, then seven rishis, then demigod, then incarnation of Lord, then the activities of Lord in that Manu Antara.
Manuputras.
Manuputras.
Sons of Manu. Activity is not an element. then? Okay, like that he spoke the six elements of second Manvantara, third Manvantara,
fourth.
And fourth Manvantara. Fourth. In fourth Manvantara, Lord Hari, who is the son of Harimedha, he protected Gajendra from a crocodile. So then Parikshit Maharaj asked the question. So I want to know the details of the incident. Then we enter the second chapter. Right, even before we enter the second chapter, there are some glories of this episode, Gajendra episode, in the last three verses of first chapter. Right? Okay, second chapter, anyone wants to summarize? Yes, Pran Gopinath Prabhu. You can see the slides and summarize also, or whatever you have, you may have.
So then in second chapter he describes about Gajendra's activities. So how Gajendra was living in Trikuta mountain. He was enjoying there. He was walking towards the that lake.
What lake?
Premut. What was that? Premut.
In the Trikuta mountain region, there is a lake. There is a garden called Ritumat Garden.
Ritumat Garden.
In that there is a lake.
Yeah. So. So he went with his family there to take a bath. So they were drinking water and he was splashing water on all of them. Then immediately crocodile came and attacked and he grabbed his leg. So he started, he tried to relieve his leg, pull his leg, but it went on for 1,000 years. That fight went on for 1,000 years. Even demigods were amazed seeing that. And then when he saw that his wives and his children were not able to protect him, then he started contemplating that who will protect. Then he realized that only Lord can protect. No one is a protector. So in second chapter, I think it ends like this.
Third chapter, how does it begin? Makanlal Prabhu. Prayers of Gajendra.
He remembers the prayers which he used to recite as King Indradumna. Then he starts offering prayers. First he tells the characteristics of the Lord. Then how to take shelter of the Lord. He says how
characteristics you can
how to know the
characteristics. What are the four verses? Themes, main themes at least.
He is a root cause.
He is the cause of all causes.
Cause of all causes. Then he is supreme energy, supreme energetic and transcendental. Then
next.
then who can understand Lord?
As in the supreme actor, energy, Prabhupada gives a beautiful analogy.
Earth and pot.
Earth and pot, correct.
That analogy.
So, pot is connected in every way to the earth. Similarly, universe is connected in every way to the Lord.
Then who can take shelter of the Lord? Who can understand the Lord? He as a great artist cannot be understood even by demigods. And
how can an animal understand?
How can an animal understand? But those who have who are in devotional, follow devotional vows strictly and desire to see the Lord, they can see the Lord, and those who take shelter of them can see the Lord. Prabhupada extreme.
Okay, next verse is Hemra Prabhu. You can continue the prayers.
The third branch is that appearance of the Lord. So in external, internal place, that externally he appears as various incarnations, and internally he appears as Paramatma. And then after that, the form,
the process to realize him,
devotional
is Bhakti Yoga.
And then finally that form, Shantaya, Goraya, you will appear in various forms, so please now also you can appear.
Although it may not be time for you, as you say. Next.
That branch is qualities of the Lord.
Yes. Different qualities. 13 to 17 verses. Supreme. Why the Lord is the supreme shelter. This is the most important section. Yes, who can say? Devashish Prabhu. Ah, Sachidilal Prabhu.
About the qualities of the Lord. The first Lord is the Supreme Father.
How is the Lord Supreme Father?
Because He is the cause of everything. He is a super soul. He is a Kshetrajna.
Kshetrajna.
Knower of everything. And then He tells that He is the Supreme Director.
Prakriti is the mother. So Lord being the source of Prakriti, or who impregnates the Prakriti, He becomes Father.
He becomes a Father. And then He is a Supreme Director. Like He is the observer also and He is facilitator also.
Yeah, He is the sanctioner also.
Sanctioner also.
Next.
And then He tells that He is the Supreme Cause. Like that shloka. Namo namaste akhila karanaya. Then He tells about that He is the Supreme Director, Supreme Cause also, and He is a Supreme Revealer of Knowledge also. And
so Lord is revealed by Vedic knowledge. That is mentioned in the 15th verse. 16th verse, Lord may question, you are an animal, how will you understand?
It is you only that will reveal the knowledge to me. And then He tells that you is supremely merciful. Matram Prapanna. That you are supremely, then Lord asked, why don't you take shelter of me earlier?
So what was Gajendra's response? Jagadish Hari Prabhu. Yes, Prabhuji.
There are many obstacles in reviving relationship with Lord, in attaining the Supreme Lord, and that is basically in one verse He says it is the material attachment towards family, children, and which becomes
Atma Japta. Grihavitta Janeshu Saktair.
After having spoken that, then one will question, then what is the need? So how does one attain the shelter of the Lord? What is the basis on which one will attain the shelter of the Lord? Or why should one take the shelter of the Lord? So there are two types of devotees, Sakam devotees and Nishkam devotees, and both have different shelters. So the Sakam devotees have shelter Dharma, Artha, Kam and Moksh, for which they take shelter of the Lord. But the Nishkam devotees, their main goal is to get an opportunity to chant, hear and discuss katha. So that is explained in two verses after.
Ekantinas. Yes, someone else can continue the prayers. Adipurishru, would you like to continue from there?
Then we hear about the Supreme Lord's potency. So we understand the Lord's potency based on what He is creating. So He is emanating jivas from Him, He is creating Lord Brahma, then the Vedic knowledge also comes from Him, and is compared to a fire emanating different sparks of fire. Then finally we also see how what the Lord is not. So we see how He is not the na stri na shando na puma na jantu. So like that we understand what the Lord is not. So it gives a clear picture of who the Lord is and what He creates and what the Lord is not.
Next, Vinwada Prabhu. Final section of Gajendra's prayers. You were not there. Oh, sorry. Devashish Prabhu, you were there, ne?
Then the last section, He says, please, please give me liberation. Please, please make me free from ignorance. Then He says, bhakti yogis are purified, and main obstacle for spiritual advancement or bhakti to you is those who are too attached to sense gratification.
Correct. Next, two more.
Two more verses, I forget.
Okay, anyone else? Last verse. We came till 28th verse. Last verse is there. One more verse. Jagadish Hari Prabhu.
Actually, Jiva forgets his real identity. That he is a servant of Lord. And he is forgetting that.
So finally he remembered and he is surrendering. Gajendra is surrendering. So what happened after the prayers? Samarpan Goprabhu. Anadiram Prabhu. Final section of the chapter.
After hearing the prayers of the Gajendra, the Lord immediately invoked him. In that purport, Prabhupada writes like Supreme Personality of Godhead versus demigods. Distinction.
Correct, correct.
Then, because understanding that awkward position of Gajendra, then Lord swiftly comes.
No, before that, what happened? Why is this demigods coming into picture?
Huh.
Why the purport between. You remember the slide, I know.
But not proper. Actually, not properly, I understand. Remember.
Actually, Gajendra offered a prayer without taking anyone's name. He offered a prayer to Supreme Controller. Demigods were not Supreme Controllers. They were just some subordinate controllers. So they thought he is addressing prayer to Supreme Controller. Why should we respond? And he didn't take our names only. So they got offended. That itself was an offense. So they didn't respond. And they also thought Supreme Lord will not easily respond. So Gajendra will die. They felt like that. So, but Lord immediately responded. He came. Okay, next.
Then Lord touched him.
Huh.
Then as soon as he touches the Lord, Gajendra touched by the Lord. Gajendra became free from the...
What did Gajendra do before Lord came
and offers, he just like cuts the lotus flower and he offers to the Lord.
He offers lotus flower.
Then after that, Lord touches him and he just like Lord pulls Gajendra. And as soon as he pulls, he just, that crocodile also comes with the Gajendra. Crocodile also comes with the Gajendra. Then Lord's...
Is it like that?
Then Lord cuts the head of the crocodile. And from the crocodile's body, one Gandharva comes.
What is his name?
Not mentioned. Who?
Yes, Jagannath Yatra, we can continue from fourth chapter.
Lord favors Gajendra and crocodile by delivering them from the material existence, and we see that how crocodile was not pure, and means the king Huhu was not eager to go back to Godhead, so Lord could not give him that liberation. He simply gave him his own body, Gandharva body. Then how the section is like that, how the king Indrajumna Maharaj was the king of Panda region, but he insulted Agastya Muni and Rishis by not welcoming them in his ashram. So they felt offended, and then Agastya Muni curses him that you behave like a dull man, so you become dull animal. So that's how you got the elephant body. And then how the section is, next section is Phalastuti. Spoken by Shukadeva Goswami.
Okay, any missing details someone wants to fill? Yes, Jagadish Hari Prabhu, you didn't speak. How can you not speak?
You said about how Gaurang Prabhu related that promotion, that he'll be promoted.
No, before that also some details were there.
Falstuti.
Yes, Prabhu.
In the liberation of Gajendra and the crocodiles attaining Gandharva body, one of the thing was mentioned that first the crocodile was given a human, his own original form, and the reason is because he caught hold of the feet of a devotee, so he was first liberated, or he was sent to his, he was liberated from the crocodile body because he was in connection with a devotee. So it is important to be in such connection with devotees. That was one of the points which you said.
Prabhuji said. Radishan Prabhu. Okay. So, because of this Bhagavad Sparsha, Gajendra got Sarupya Mukti. You must have written this in exam, no? You wrote the exam? That's why you are not recollecting. You should write exams. And? Yes, Prabhu. Any other details?
Like how the Gandharva who became a crocodile.
That also Prabhuji said. So Gajendra's past life, six ornaments.
Six ornaments.
What are they? You wrote the exam?
Yeah. He is Atmavan. He is Jatadhari Tapasi. He is engaged in ecstatic devotional service.
Perfect object of worship. Perfect worship.
For Maunavrata.
Maunavrata, self-control. Fine. So what are the doshas that Agastya perceived?
What I say? Unintelligent. Asadhu, unintelligent. Most unintelligent.
Unintelligent, okay.
Akrita buddhi and akrita.
Did not respond to a Brahman.
Brahman avamana.
Avamanta.
Avamanta.
Fine. So Indradyumna's attitude was he just welcomed the curse. He accepted the curse, welcomed the curse, thought it is because of his past deeds. And then Gajendra went back to Godhead and there is a lot of benefits are discussed, right? So one can go back to higher planets, one will become very reputed, free from contamination, no bad dreams. So all these are mentioned. Now we began fifth chapter also, no? What happened in fifth chapter? Anandanimai Prabhu, fifth chapter.
In fifth chapter, Shukdev Goswami continues further description of Manvantaras. Starting with Raivat Manu, he gives the all six elements, details of Raivat Manu. Then for Chakshusha Manu, he gives all those details. And at that time, he explains the appearance of Lord Ajita. And he tells that he helped demigods and demons to help churning the milk ocean. Then Parikshit Maharaj asks why Lord helped them and what all things came out from churning the ocean and other things. Then Shukdev Goswami start describing about the churning of milk ocean. And he gives the background before that. That how demigods were how Indra offended Durvas Muni, and because of that he lost his opulence. And then they approach Brahma, and then Brahma tells them to approach Supreme Personality of Godhead and take his shelter.
Okay, fine. Brahmaji glorifies Supreme Personality of Godhead also. So, we are in 24th verse, right? Sri Shuka Uvacha Ityabhashya Suran Veda Sahadevairarindama Ajitasya Padam Sakshat Jagamatamasahparam.
O Maharaja Parikshit, subduer of all enemies, after Lord Brahma finished speaking to the demigods, he took them with him to the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is beyond this material world. The Lord's abode is on an island called Svetadipa, which is situated in the ocean of milk.
So when the demigods came to Brahmaji, Brahmaji takes them to Svetadvipa. So what he said immediately was, Supreme Lord is the origin of everyone and we should take his shelter. Then he is impartial and according to time, he is impartial. He has no one to favor, he has no one to oppose, right? He has no one to neglect, he has no one to be worshipped, right? So he is impartial. But he accepts this Gunavataras in mode of goodness, passion and ignorance for the maintenance, creation and destruction of the universe. Then let us approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because now we have to invoke mode of goodness. Now ignorance, demons are taking, passion and ignorance, demons are taking prominence. So demigod should take prominence. Okay, we are in the phase of maintenance. So goodness should become prevalent. So 24th verse, he takes everyone to Svetadvipa. Here one interesting word is there, Arindama, Sahadevair Arindama. Arindama means subduer of enemies. Here Parikshit Maharaj is addressed as Arindama because Parikshit Maharaj is addressed as Arindama because he is the conqueror of enemies. Not only the conqueror of political enemies, he is the conqueror of internal enemies like lust, anger, greed and all the anarthas. So he did not follow the dictates of the enemies within his body, such as lust, greed and anger. That's why he is addressed as Arindama. And one more word Prabhupada explains is Surapriya. Surapriya means Lord is very dear to devotees. Devotees are very dear to Krishna. Even those on the lower stages of devotional service are also dear to Krishna. So if they continue to execute devotional service, Krishna will always be pleased with them and give them guidance to come back to Him. Right? That is why Lord is many times described as Surapriya. Then one more word Prabhupada explains is Ajitasya Padam. Ajitasya Padam means this Svetadvipa, the place where Lord is staying, it is transcendental to this material world. Although it is within the material world, still that abode is very spiritual and eternal abode. 25th verse. Tatra adrishta svarupaya srutapurvaya vai prabhu stutim abruta divibhir daivibhir girbhistva avahitendriya.
There, at Svetadipa, Lord Brahma offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even though he had never seen the Supreme Lord, simply because Lord Brahma had heard about the Supreme Personality of Godhead from Vedic literatures. With a fixed mind, he offered the Lord prayers as written or approved by Vedic literature.
So here, Brahmaji did not see the Lord, but he, with great faith, he offered prayers to the Lord. And those prayers are approved by Vedic literatures. The word Srutapurvaya is used. So hearing is seeing. If we, Srutekshita, we hear, right? Srutekshita patho nananata pumsam. If we don't have faith, even if we see God with our eyes, we will not be able to understand Him. But if one has faith, even if he doesn't see the Lord, just by offering prayers, he can connect to the Lord. So this is important. Even Duryodhan, Shishupal, Paundrika, all of them have seen God, seen Krishna, but they never had faith. They could never understand Krishna. Right? On the other hand, we hear Rukmini Devi, then all the Brahman Patnis in the today's beautiful darshan we have seen. So they have never seen Krishna, but through this medium of sound vibration, they have developed attachment to Krishna. They have developed a certain understanding of Krishna. Therefore, we have to hear about God, Krishna, from the authentic Vedic literature and from persons who understand the Vedic version properly. And we have to hear about Krishna, that is emphasized, but hearing from the right sources is also emphasized. Right? Not hearing about Krishna from anyone and everyone, from some professional reciters. Oftentimes Prabhupada is heavy in his purports, hearing from professional reciters. So it has to be an authentic and bona fide source. Daivibhihi, by prayers mentioned in the Vedic literatures, are offered by persons strictly following the Vedic principles. So this is the source from which one can hear. Seeing the Lord is not as important as appreciating Him from the authentic literature or the authentic statements of authorized persons. See to what extent Prabhupada is emphasizing. You be satisfied with studying a scripture or hearing from a bona fide devotee. Seeing is a detail. Seeing is not so important like this. So that, to that extent, it is emphasized. Right? So, Sravanam is more important than Darshanam. This is what is explained here. So, Tvam Bhakti Yoga Paribhavita Hritsaroja Asse Srutekshita Patho Nanunatha Pumsa Yadya Dhyata Urugaya Vibhavayanti Tattattvapu Pranayase Sat Anugrahaya. So, there the emphasis was, you don't endeavor to see Krishna. Srutekshita patho nanunatha pumsam. The path one should take is Sruta Ikshita. He has to see Krishna through the medium of ears. Then, yadyadhyata urugaya vibhavayanti tattattvapu pranayase sadanugrahaya. Then Lord will reveal the favorite form of the devotee. Out of his causeless mercy, Lord will reveal that favorite form of the devotee and reciprocate with the devotee in that form. So, hearing is the most important element, more than the seeing. Daivibhir girbhihi. Prayers must be approved by Vedic literatures. So Prabhupada emphasizes on two songs, Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktarunda, and Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So Panchatattva Mantra and Hare Krishna Mahamantra are sufficient to please Supreme Personality of Godhead, although we cannot see Him. So Prabhupada emphasizes these two. So these two we chant every day, several times. Now, since they could not see Him, does it mean He has no form? No, He has form. That is mentioned in the very first prayer of Brahmaji, which is beginning from 26th. 26 to 50, there are 25 prayers of Brahmaji in this chapter. So we will discuss one by one. Sri Brahmovacha Avikriyam Satyam Anantam Adyam Guhashayam Nishkalam Apratarkyam Manograyanam vachasanukirtim vachasaniruktam namamahe devavaram varenyam.
Lord Brahma said, O Supreme Lord, O Changeless, Unlimited Supreme Truth, you are the origin of everything. Being all-pervading, you are in everyone's heart and also in the atom. You have no material qualities. Indeed, you are inconceivable. The mind cannot catch you by speculation, and words fail to describe you. You are the supreme master of everyone, and therefore you are worshipable for everyone. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you.
So this is glorifying the beautiful qualities of Lord. Here, avikriyam, Lord never changes. Material existence changes, but Lord never changes. That's why He is called avikriyam. Satyam, supreme truth. Anantam, unlimited. Adyam, original cause of everything. Right? Guhasayam, He is present in everybody's heart. Guhasayam. Then Nishkalam Apratarkyam, His potency will never decrease. That's why He is called Nishkalam. Apratarkyam, He is inconceivable. He cannot be understood by material arguments. Tarka means argument, material arguments. But Lord is described as Apratarkyam. Apratarkya means you cannot understand Him by material arguments, like that logic. Manograyanam vachasa. He is agrayanam. His speed is faster than mana and vacha. He is faster than our mind and words. Right? One cannot reach Him by one's mind and words. Then, aniruktam, indescribable. So this is connecting to vachasa only. So you cannot describe Him through your jugglery of words. Namamahe devavaram varendyam. He is the head of all demigods. This is like one prayer here. So everything material must change from one form to another form, but Lord will not change. That's why He is also called Sanatana or Avikriyam. So, Prabhupada also emphasizes that living entity can never be equal to the Lord. See, Lord is having all these qualities. How many of them that a living entity will have? So, living entity can never be equal to the Lord. Prabhupada also quotes relevant references like Sarvasa Jaham Hridi Sannivishto to explain the word Guhasayam. Lord stays in everyone's heart. And Mayatadamadam Sarvam Mayadhyakshena Prakriti. So, Prabhupada quotes those verses also. Right? And who will understand the Lord? Even the great authorities like 12 Mahajans only can properly understand the Lord. And we also gain that understanding by hearing from them. Right? Swayambhur Narada, Swayambhur Prahlado, Kumara Kapilo Manu. like that. So 27th verse is describing the omniscience of the Lord. He is the all-knower. Vipashyatam pranamano dhiyatmanam arthendriyabhasam anidram avranam chayat chayatapau yatrana gridhra pakshau tamaksharam kham triyugam vrijamahe.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead directly and indirectly knows how everything, including the living force, mind and intelligence, is working under His control. He is the illuminator of everything and has no ignorance. He does not have a material body subject to the reactions of previous activities. And He is free from the ignorance of partiality and materialistic education. I therefore take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, who is eternal, all-pervading, and as great as the sky, and who appears with six opulences in three yugas, Satya, Trita, and Dwapara.
So few more qualities are mentioned here, and prominently this verse is speaking about Lord's omniscience. He is the knower. Indirectly or directly, He is the knower of everything, including the mind, intelligence, and everything of the living entity. So janmadyasya yataha anvayaditaradascha abhigneshu Abhignaswarat. So the Lord is the origin of all emanations, and He is Vipashchitam, one who is in full knowledge or who knows everything. So that is the main quality that is emphasized here. And Lord is Anidram. Anidram means He doesn't sleep. You may see Mahavishnu, then Garbhodak Sai Vishnu, Kshirodak Sai Vishnu, they are always sleeping. And here He is Anidram. So their sleeping is not compared to the sleep of ordinary conditioned soul. Although they are always lying down on Anantasesha bed, constantly they are on bed, but their nidra is yoga nidra. Okay, they are totally alert, right? They are always awake, and they are completely free from ignorance. When a living entity sleeps, he is in ignorance. But when Lord sleeps, he is in yoga nidra, and he is totally alert and awake, right? And he is always accessible. So all the devatas are working so hard, they are extremely active. But you don't see a painting of devatas sleeping, right? But all of the active devatas will go to the sleeping Lord and then get some direction from Him. Okay, and then out of his sleep, he just have to say a single word, and then the whole thing will move. Right? That's what we'll discuss in this chapter. He is Anidram. Therefore, He has no time to sleep. He is never in ignorance of our activities. Okay, there are millions and millions of living entities, and the Lord gives them directions. Not only when demigods are stuck, each and every living entity is directed by Super Soul, who is similar to Kshirodak Sai Vishnu, who is sleeping. Right? He is sleeping, but he is directing each and every living entity. Where is time for him to sleep? Apparently he may be sleeping. Like that. And he is also Triyuga. Prabhupada quotes this Krishna Varnam Tushaya Krishnam. Sangopangasra Parshadam. So Lord appears in the fourth yuga also, although He is described as Triyuga. But in the fourth yuga, He doesn't declare Himself as Supreme Personality of Godhead. His avatar in the fourth yuga is Channa avatar. 28th verse describes the wheel of samsara. Ajasya chakram tvajayeryamanam manomayam panchadasharamasu Trinabhi vidyuchalam ashtanemi yadakshamahus tamritam prapadye.
In the cycle of material activities, the material body resembles the wheel of mental chariot. The 10 senses, 5 for working and 5 for gathering knowledge, and the 5 life air within the body form the 15 spokes of the chariot's wheel. The 3 modes of nature, goodness, passion and ignorance, are its center of activity, and the 18 ingredients of the nature comprise the rim of the will. The external material energy moves this will like electrical energy. Thus the will revolves very quickly around its hub or central support, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Super Soul and Ultimate Truth. we offer our respectful obeisances unto him.
Prabhupada says the entire cycle of transmigration from one body to another body. So that is called the chakra. So it is figuratively described. All these 10 senses, 5 pranas, mind, gunas, 8 elements, they are all figuratively described as the forming a wheel, a chakra here. So an important element to observe here is Lord is the central support. Supreme Personality of Godhead is the central support of it. So this whole samsara chakra is based on the Supreme Lord. Like that. So Lord has created, Lord's energies are the basis of this samsara chakra, which are causing the transmigration or the birth and death of all the living entities. Like that. Aparayamitastanyam vikvakritim vidhime param. So he, Prabhupada quotes that the soul is superior to the material energy, but it is under the clutches of material energy in the conditioned state. And Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam, and Lord is also staying in the heart of living entities. And the living entity is thinking that, living entity is like as if he is on the chariot of a machine, right? Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. So Lord is super soul. Living entity is there as if seated on a machine of made of material energy, like that. So soul, super soul, material energy, all three are mentioned here. But the basis of everything is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right, that is explained. So now here he says Lord is the central support of this samsara chakra. We offer our respectful obeisances to him, we surrender unto him. That is the intent of Brahmaji. Right, how to surrender, that is mentioned in the 29th verse. This is the method of surrender. Ya ekavarnam tamasah param tad alokam avyaktam ananta param asam chakaropa suparnamenam upasate yogarathena dhirah.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in pure goodness, Suddha Sattva, and therefore he is ekavarna, the Omkara Pranava. Because the Lord is beyond the cosmic manifestation, which is considered to be darkness, he is not visible to material eyes. Nonetheless, he is not separated from us by time or space, but is present everywhere. Seated on each carrier Garuda, he is worshipped by means of mystical yogic power by those who have achieved freedom from agitation. Let us all offer our respectable obeisances unto him.
So, Lord is the central support of this wheel of samsara. So one needs to surrender to that central support, not to the wheel. He has to come out of the wheel of that samsara by surrendering to the central support of that samsara, the basis of that samsara, that is Supreme Lord. So the method of surrender is given here. The method of surrender is one should become dhira and be free from the influence of modes. Three modes, then he will be able to come out. So one should become dhira. Dhira means what? He should remain, he can remain sober or calm even in the presence of an agitation. That is the definition of a dhira. So in the purport, Prabhupada explains that there are three modes, goodness, passion and ignorance. Amongst these, goodness is the platform of knowledge. Passion is a mixture of knowledge and ignorance, and ignorance is ignorance only, full of darkness. So one has to come above these three modes and come to the Vasudeva platform. One has to become dhira. So the process of yoga may be practiced by one who is free from the agitation of modes, dhira. So the method of surrender is to become a dhira, means not to get agitated by these three modes. Right? Even God, mode of goodness is also entangling. Tatra sattvam nirmalatvat prakashakam anamayam sukha sangena badhnati jnana sangena chanagha. One has to be pure goodness, not goodness. The goodness in this material world is often tinged with passion and ignorance. But one has to come to the level of pure goodness, vishuddha sattva. Okay, that is mentioned here. Now, the 30th verse describes Lord's prowess. Nayasyakascha titadarati mayam yaya jano muhyati vedanartham tam nirjitatmatma gunam paresham namama bhuteshu samam charantam.
No one can overcome the Supreme Personality of Godhead's illusory energy, Maya, which is so strong that it bewilders everyone, making one lose the sense to understand the aim of life. That same Maya, however, is subdued by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who rules everyone and who is equally disposed toward all living entity. Let us offer our obeisances unto Him.
Mm. So, samsara chakra is very difficult to overcome, but by surrendering to the Supreme Lord and by becoming a dhira, one can overcome it. So that point is re-emphasized here by declaring the Lord's prowess here, Lord's power here. So Lord is the master of Maya, right? No one can ordinarily overcome the power of this Lord's illusory energy, Maya, but one who surrenders to the Supreme Lord can overcome, right? Why? Because this Maya is always subdued by Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Lord is the adhyaksha, maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Lord is the master of Maya. Daivi hesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mamevaya prabadyante maya medam tarantite. So that is explained. The external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives all conditioned souls what appears to be an opportunity to be happy within this material world. But that is Maya. In other words, it is a dream that is never fulfilled. So what does Maya do? It offers an opportunity to conditioned soul which appears that she is giving happiness. But she is not giving happiness, she is only entangling the living entity. Right? So to come out of this Maya, one has to surrender to the Supreme Lord. Because Lord is the master of Maya. Lord is not controlled by Maya. So, and one point Prabhupada says is, not only does he control the conditioned souls through his external energy, he also controls the external energy itself. Right? So, external energy is controlling the living entity, but the Lord is controlling external energy also along with the living entity. Like that. He is a full Supreme Master. So, 31st verse describes how it is very difficult to understand the Lord. Why people cannot know the Lord. Ime vayam yat priyayai vatanva sattvena srishta bahirantaravi gatimna sukshmam rishayascha vidmahe kutosuradya itara pradhanah.
Since our bodies are made of sattva gun, we, the demigods, are internally and externally situated in goodness. All the great saints are also situated in that way. Therefore, even if we cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what is to be said of those who are most insignificant in their bodily constitution, being situated in the mode of passion and ignorance? How can they understand the Lord? Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto Him.
Mm. So we are demigods and our bodies are made of goodness. So we cannot understand the Lord. What to speak of people who are in mode of passion and ignorance? That is what demigods are saying here. It's difficult to understand the Lord. So atheists, demons, they cannot understand God. Although Lord is situated right in their hearts, they cannot understand. So for them, the Lord finally appears in the form of death. Mrityu sarvaharaschaham. At the time of death, Prabhupada interestingly writes, their attempts to use their so-called scientific knowledge and philosophical speculation to deny the supremacy of the Lord cannot work. Whole life, through their intelligence and speculation and then other material faculties, they must have denied the existence or supremacy of the Lord. But all this will not work at the time of death. Lord will attack them as death. They have to surrender to death. You have to surrender to Krishna in the form of death. Like that. And even the demigods, devotees, they are in the platform of goodness. Still they cannot be have complete awareness of the qualities of the Lord. What to speak of these kind of scientists who are denying the existence of the Lord. However, so in the last 3-4 verses, all the demigods, Brahmaji here, so he described how Lord is the all-knower, Lord is the supreme, Lord is the master of material energy, and it is very difficult to understand the Lord, it is difficult to overcome the Maya, like that. It is difficult to understand the Lord's form. But people know Lord's form as this gross universe. They may not understand the actual sarupa of the Lord completely, but they are aware of this gross form, the universe of the Lord. Right? So the next 12 verses are glorifying the universal form of the Lord. Here. So that's how universal form comes once again in our syllabus. 32. Pado mahiyam svakritai vayasya chaturvidho yatrahi bhuta sarga savai mahapurusha atmatantra prasidatam brahma mahavibhuti.
On this earth, there are four kinds of living entities who are all created by him. The material creation rests on his lotus feet. He is the great supreme person full of opulence and power. May he be pleased with us.
So there are four kinds of living entities: Andaja, Svedaja, Udbhija, Jarayuja. Living entities born out of seeds or eggs or perspiration or embryo. Right? So Lord created all of them. So the material creation rests on his lotus feet. This is important. So so material creation rests on his lotus feet. So Prabhupada explains that Lord is Abhigna Swarat. He is cognizant of everything and he is Swarat, independent. We are dependent, whereas the Supreme Lord is completely independent. All the five elements or everything rests on Supreme Lord. As the Samsara Chakra's description is also given, all the 16 spokes, three gunas, the 8 rims, 8 elements, everything is based on Supreme Lord. That is once again mentioned here. How is that? Water is the semen of the Lord, moon is the mind of the Lord, fire is the mouth of the Lord, sun is the eye of the Lord, vital force, prana of all living entities, he is the prana of the Lord only. So that all these things are explained in the next several verses. 33rd verse is describing that water is the semen of the Lord. Ambhastu yadreta udaravirjam siddhyanti jivantyutavardhamanah lokayatotha kila lokapalah prasidatam nah samahavibhuti.
The entire cosmic manifestation has emerged from water, and it is because of water that all living entities endure, live and develop. This water is nothing but the semen of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, may the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has such great potency, be pleased with us.
So water is sometimes explained to be Lord's perspiration, sometimes as Lord's semen. Right? But basically we need to understand water is coming from the Supreme Lord only. He is the source of everything. Then 34. Moon is coming from the Lord's mind. Somam mano yasya samamananti divaukasam yo balamandha ayu ishonaganam prajanam prasidatam nah samaha vibhutihi.
Soma, the moon, is the source of food grains, strength and longevity for all the demigods. He is also the master of all vegetation and the source of generation for all living entities. As stated by learned scholars, The moon is the mind of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of all opulences, be pleased with us.
Mm. So moon is the juice. Moon provides the juice of all vegetables. Is the master of all vegetation. So how can the modern scientists claim that they went to moon and then they got some dust? Or there is no variety there. Prabhupada often condemns that. Then 35th verse. Explain that fire is Lord's mouth. Agnih mukham yasya tu jata veda. Jata kriya kanda. Nimitta janma. Antas samudre nupachan svadhatun. Prasidatamna samaha vibhutihi.
Fire, which is born for the sake of accepting oblations in ritualistic ceremonies, is the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Fire exists within the depths of ocean to produce wealth, and fire is also present in the abdomen to digest food and produce various secretions for the maintenance of the body. May that supremely powerful Personality of Godhead be pleased with us.
So, fire is considered to be Lord's mouth. When oblations are offered in the yajna, so Lord accepts those oblations through the medium of fire. Okay, then also Lord mentions in third canto and in fourth canto that I eat through the mouth of Brahmanas. I eat through fire, but what gives me more pleasure than feeding me through the fire is feeding me through the mouth of Brahmanas. That also Lord mentions. Then 36th verse explains that sun is Lord's eye. Yachakshurasi taranair devayanam taranir dev trayimayo brahmana esha dhishnyam dvaram cha mukter amritam cha mrityu prasidatam na samaha vibhutihi.
The sun god marks the path of liberation, which is called Archiradi Vartma. He is the chief source for understanding of the Vedas. He is the abode where the absolute truth can be worshipped. He is the gateway to liberation, and he is the source of eternal life as well as the cause of death. The sun god is the eye of the Lord. May that supreme Lord, who is supremely opulent, be pleased with us.
So they are describing various demigods or different elements in this cosmic manifestation as being emanated from the Supreme Lord only, and may He be pleased with us. That's how their prayers are ending. If you observe Prasidatam na samaha vibhutihi, that's a recurring line. Last line is almost similar in every verse. Prasidatam na samaha vibhutihi. May that all-powerful Supreme Lord be pleased with all of us. So, sun god, glories of sun god are given here. So, demigod who watches the northern side of the universe. Sometimes he is described like that. Yachakshuresa savita sakala grahanam raja samasta suramurti rasesha teja yasyagnaya bhramati samhrita kala chakro govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So, we are seeing because Supreme Personality of Godhead sees. So, how is it? If he doesn't see, if he closes his eyes, why can't we see? One may question like that. Point is, we are seeing only when there is sun. If there is no sun, we cannot see. So sun is considered to be the eye of the Lord. When sun is there, Lord is seeing. Right? So we are also seeing. If sun is not there in the night, we can't see. Or moon is not there, sun is not, both are not there in full darkness, you close everything, we can't see. So like that. So we are able to see because Lord is able to see. Right? Our ability to see is provided by the Supreme Lord. Like that. That doesn't mean when we are not seeing, Lord is not seeing. Right? We have blocked our vision. Right? We don't want to see. So Lord is saying, okay, fine. Let others see. You just be blind. So like that. Then prana, vital force. Pranada bhudyasya chara charanam ప్రాణసహోబలం ఓజశ్చ వాయు అన్వాస్మస అన్వాస్య సమ్రాజం ఇవానుగవ్వయం ప్రసీదతాం నః సమహావిభూతిః.
All living entities, moving and non-moving, receive their vital force, their bodily strength and their very lives from the air. All of us, the air for our vital force. Exactly as servants follow an emperor, the vital force of air is generated from the original vital force of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. May that Supreme Lord be pleased with us.
So our vital force of air, prana, is originally emanating from Lord's vital force. శ్రోత్రాదిశో యస్య హృదశ్చక్ఖాని ప్రజగ్నిరేఖం పురుషస్య నాభ్యః ప్రాణేంద్రియాత్మాసు శరీరకేతః ప్రసీదతాం నః సమహావిభూతిః బలాన్ మహేంద్రస్త్రిదశాః ప్రసాదాన్ మన్యోర్గిరీశోధిషణాద్విరించః కేభ్యస్తు చంధాంసి ఋషయో మేధృతః కః ప్రసీదతాం నః సమహావిభూతిః శ్రీర్వక్షసః పితరశ్చాయయాసన్ ధర్మస్తనాద్ ఇతరః పృష్టతోభూత్ ద్యౌర్యస్య శ్రీ శీర్ష్ణో ప్రసనో విహారాత్ ప్రసీదతాం నః సమహావిభూతిః.
మే ద సుప్రీమ్లీ పవర్ఫుల్ పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్ బి ప్లీజ్డ్ విత్ అస్. ద డిఫరెంట్ డైరెక్షన్స్ ఆర్ జనరేటెడ్ ఫ్రమ్ హిస్ ఇయర్స్, ద హోల్స్ ఆఫ్ ద బాడీ కమ్ ఫ్రమ్ హిస్ హార్ట్, and the vital force, the senses, the mind, the air within the body and the ether, which is the shelter of the body, come from his navel. Mahendra, the king of heaven, was generated from the prowess of the Lord. The demigods were generated from the mercy of the Lord. Lord Shiva was generated from the anger of the Lord, and Lord Brahma from his sober intelligence. The Vedic mantras were generated from the bodily holes of the Lord, and the great saints and prajapatis were generated from his genitals. May that supremely powerful Lord be pleased with us. The goddess of fortune was generated from his chest, the inhabitants of Pitralok from his shadow, religion from his bosom, and irreligion, the opposite of religion, from his back. The heavenly planets were generated from the top of his head, and the apsaras from his sense enjoyment. May that supremely powerful personality of Godhead be pleased with us.
Vipro mukhat brahma chayasya guhyam rajnyasid rajanya asid bhujayor balamcham urvor vidojo ghrir avedasa sudra prasidatam nas samahavibhutih.
The Brahmanas and Vedic knowledge come from the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Kshatriyas and bodily strength come from his arms. The Vaishyas and their expert knowledge in productivity and wealth come from his thighs. And the Shudras, who are outside of Vedic knowledge, come from his feet. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full in prowess, be pleased with us.
So here, how different Varanas are coming, right? Brahmanas and knowledge, they come from Lord's mouth. Kshatriyas and strength come from his arms. Vaishyas and their business mentality, right, that will come from his thighs. And Sudras come from his feet. 42nd.
Lobhodharad pritir uparyabhudhujyutir
nastah నస్తః పశవ్యః స్పర్శేన కామః భృవోర్యమః
pakshama pakshma bhavastu kala prasidatam na samaha vibhutihi.
Greed is generated from his lower lip, affection from his upper lip, bodily luster from his nose, animalistic lusty desires from his sense of touch, yamaraj from his eyebrows, and eternal time from his eyelashes. May that Supreme Lord be pleased with us.
So that one more verse is there. Dravyam vayah karma gunan vishesham yad yoga maya vihitan vadanti yad durvibhavyam prabudha padabdham prasidatam na samaha vibhutihi.
All learned men say that the five elements, eternal time, fruitive activity, the three modes of material nature, and the varieties of produced by these modes are all creations of yoga maya. This material world is therefore extremely difficult to understand. But those who are highly learned have rejected it. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the controller of everything, be pleased with us.
So this is like a concluding verse in this series, Prasidatam na samaha vibhutihi. So this important word, prabudhapa badham. Prabhudapa badham. Here, there are five elements, then there is eternal time, there is fruitive activity, there are modes of material nature, there are varieties that are produced from the interactions of modes, sarga, visarga. So many details are there in this material creation. It's very difficult to understand. How complicated is this network of material creation? It's very difficult to understand. So, although it is difficult to understand, there is not much a necessity to spend so much time in understanding this. Just reject it. You understand it little bit and then it's okay. You can reject it. So, great learned people have rejected it that way, like that. It's difficult to understand, so they have rejected. So, if material world and its affairs are impossible to understand, how can we reject it? We have to reject this material world because it is rejected by those who are learned in Vedic wisdom. Because great learned people have rejected it, we can also follow in their footsteps and we can also reject it. Right? Instead of understanding why I should reject it, let me understand why is it difficult? What is the problem with this? So, that's not necessary. To go back to Godhead means to reject this material world. So, like that. So, durvibhavyam is important in this verse because it's difficult to understand how everything is happening in this material world. What we need to understand is, material world is difficult to understand, but it's easy to understand that there is a supreme controller above this material creation, and that is Supreme Lord. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Everything is actually happening under the direction of Krishna. That much we can learn. Right? But how it is happening is difficult to understand. Krishna is supervising. Krishna is supervising the different functions of this material world. That much we should understand. How he is doing it and what are happening, what are the details, we may not understand. Right? So, how can we understand the affairs of this bigger universe? Okay, we don't know what's happening within this smaller universe only. We don't know what's happening within our own body itself. How it is difficult to understand a bigger universe. We have to reject the material world because we just have to follow in the footsteps of learned people who have already rejected it. Mamupetya punarjanma dukkhalayam ashashvatam napnuvanti mahatmana samsiddhir pramam gatim. Then 44th verse. Now, 33rd verse is discussing, till 42nd verse we have a description of different elements in this material creation, right, how they are all coming from the Supreme Lord only. 43rd verse explains that, oh, Lord is the source of all of them, Lord is the controller of all of them. So, we just understand this, we may not be able to understand other details of the material creation, so we will reject the material world. And another point here mentioned in 44th verse is, Lord is detached from this material world. Why can't you be detached? you are part and parcel of the Lord, you should also be detached from this material world, because Lord Himself is detached. That is mentioned in the 44th verse. Namostu tasma upashanta shaktaye swarajya labha pratipurta pratipuritatmane guneshu maya rachiteshu vrittibhir na sajjamanaya nabhasvat utaye.
Let me offer our respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is completely silent, free from endeavor, and completely satisfied by his own achievements. He is not attached to the activities of the material world through his senses. Indeed, in performing his pastime in this material world, he is just like an unattached air.
Air. Is everywhere. Air is existing everywhere. Okay, air is all pervading, but air is not attached to one place. Lord is all pervading. Lord's energies are all pervading, but Lord is not attached to this material world. So everything is done systematically by Lord's energies. Parashya Shaktir Vividheva Shuyate, and therefore he has nothing to do. Lord's energies are doing everything, so he has nothing to do. Okay, because just because his energies are involved, is he attached? No, he's aloof. He's not at all attached. So he's not attached to anything, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, let us offer our respectful obeisances unto him and learn detachment from him. Like that. So finally, all these demigods are saying, please show your original form. So till now they are not getting darshan. Right? They have described that, oh, we have seen your form of this universe only. We have described that universe and we understood that we have to be detached from this material world only. You are also detached. Please show your original form. Finally, they are coming to a point. Sattvamno darshayatmanam asmatkarana gocharam prapannanam didrukshunam sasmitam te mukhambujam.
O Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are surrendered unto you, yet we wish to see you. Please make your original form and smiling lotus face visible to our eyes and appreciable to our other senses.
Like that. Shiva says, Darshanam no didrukshunam dehi bhagavata architam rupam priyatamam svanam sarvindre gunanjanam. So that is the potency of Lord's form. It will satisfy every sense of every living entity, right? Devotees are very eager to see that darshan. So, sattvam no darshayatmanam. So, please show your original darshaya. Please be visible to us with your original smiling face. Asmat karana gocharam. Please be. Please make our senses appreciate your form. Prapannanam, because we are surrendered unto you. Didrukshunam, and we are very desirous of seeing you. Sasmitam te mukhambujam. Sasmitam, your smiling face we want to see. Mukhambujam, lotus face. So devotees are always eager to see the Lord's form. So Lord has both impersonal features and personal features. Impersonal feature is his effulgence or time. So personal feature is his lotus face, beautiful form, right? Tribhanga form. So devotees are more interested in his personal features than the impersonal features, like that. Those who are in the Vaishnava Sampradaya of Brahma always want to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are eager to realize Lord's personal feature, not the impersonal feature, like that. Asmat karana gocharam. Next, 46th verse. Taistai svecha bhutai rupai kale kale svayam vibho karma durvisaham yanno bhagavamstat karotihi.
O Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, by your sweet will you appear in various incarnations, millennium after millennium, and act wonderfully, performing uncommon activities that would be impossible for us.
So in the 45th verse, the demigod said that wanted the Lord to show his original form. Why I should show you? Lord may question. He says, you are affectionate to your devotees. That's why you appear many times. So please show us. So that is explained here. By your sweet will you appear as various incarnations. Taistai svecha bhutai rupaihi sva ichchaha. So by your own personal sweet will rupaihi, in different forms, kale kale, in different millenniums, swayam personally, vibho, O Lord, you are performing so many activities, which are uncommon activities, durvishaham karma. Lord is performing durvishaham karma. Right? Yanno bhagavam stat karotihi. And Bhagavan, you are doing all that, we can't do all that. So please, which are difficult to, you are performing activities that are difficult to us, and you have performed, you have appeared in so many millenniums, please appear now also. So Prabhupada explains the science of Lord's appearance. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. So these are the purpose of Lord's incarnation in relation to the conditioned souls. So the incarnation of the Lord must be accepted in terms of shastras. So not whimsically. Anyone and everyone cannot come and claim that I am Supreme Lord, I am an incarnation. So Prabhupada emphasizes that in the purport. And also Prabhupada explains this word, sva ichha. He does appear by his own will, by his own sweet will. It is only by his personal sweet will that he appears and disappears. And only fortunate devotees can expect to see him face to face, not everyone. Like that. 47th verse. Klesha bhuryalpa sarani karmani vifalani va dehinam vishayartanam natathaiva arpitam tvayi.
Karmis are always anxious to accumulate wealth for their sense gratification, but for that purpose they must work very hard. 8. Even though they work hard, the results are not satisfying. Indeed, sometimes their work results only in frustration. But devotees who had dedicated their lives to the service of the Lord can achieve substantial results without working very hard. These results exceed the devotees' expectations.
So this is important verse. It is discriminating between the results achieved by devotees and non-devotees. Klesha bhuri alpasarani. Klesha is bhuri. Their distress or endeavor is very great. Right? They are endeavoring so much. But alpasarani, they will get a very little result. Karmani vifalaniva. On top of it, their karmas become vifal. Their activities become frustrated many times. Dehinam vishayartanam natathaiva arpitam tvayi. Dehinam vishayartanam. Vishayarti means a person who is desire of sense gratification only. For such a people, dehis, conditioned souls, embodied souls, who are vishayartis, their klesha is bhuri, their sara is alpa, and their karma is vifal. Right? Their activities are frustrated, their results are meager, their endeavors are very great. Great means endeavors are very troublesome, so many. They put so much effort to get a very insignificant result. But na tathaiva arpitam tvayi. This is not the case with someone who has surrendered unto you. Arpitam means one who has given, one who has dedicated his own self to you, one who has dedicated his body, mind and words unto your service. So such people will not get that kind of things, that kind of results. The results, Prabhupada explains in the translation, the results exceed devotees' expectations. Right? Something similar verse also is there in third canto. Sukhaya, not that. Soham runam kshulla sukhaya dukham mahadgatanam viramaya tasya. So, soham runam kshulla sukhaya dukham. Kshulla sukha, for a meager amount of happiness. Dukham mahat, they are experiencing great amount of distress. Right, viramaya tasya, to give a break to that kind of unnecessary endeavor for some insignificant happiness. Pravartaye bhagavatam puranam yadaha sakshat bhagavan rishubhyah. I am speaking this bhagavatam, okay, for to give a break to their unnecessary trouble. One more verse. Sukhaya karmani karoti loko nayam, what is it? Anyad uparamamva. Right. That is also another important reference. Then, etadhi atur chittana matrasparshe chayamahu. People are always in anxiety because they want to gratify their senses. They want to bring senses in contact with sense objects. Solution is Krishna Katha, like that. Right. Klesha Bhuri, their Klesha or hardship, endeavor, is Bhuri very much. Alpa Sarani, Sara is the result, good result, is Alpa, very little. Then Karmani Vifalanicha, their karmas, their activities are Vifala, frustrated. This is the nature of Dehis, who are Vishayartis. Prabhupada says in ISKCON, there are immense opportunities for service. Without working very hard. You just be in the ashram, you will get unlimited services. Right? You don't have to work hard for service. After you receive service, you can work hard. So Prabhupada says, I just started the movement with 40 rupees. Now I have more than 40 crores worth of property. Okay? Which industrialist or businessman can earn so much? Within 10 years, 40 rupees will become 40 crore rupees. Right? How will that happen? You start with 1 rupee, will you get 1 crore after 10 years? No. And so many 1 crore followers also. No, Prabhupada says that is Krishna consciousness. So everything is encouraging and improving. Everything is encouraging and improving like that. Prasad Badaila in Chaitanya Charitamrita also, as somebody is distributing prasadam, prasadam is increasing. There is a mention like that. Badaila. Like that. There is no coming down, because in 5 years back when we came here, the operations here, you know, the magnitude of services and operations are very low. What will so many people do at GEV? What will so many people do in the farm? But now, how much ever manpower may come, we can devour. They can be fully engaged 24 hours in a day, even if 100 people come, more like that. 48. So these are all happening by devotees' desire to serve the Lord. When a devotee desires to offer some service to the Lord, and there are so many followers of that devotee who are assisting him in that service that he is offering to the Lord, then service will just expand and expand and expand, and it will only make everyone spiritually advanced, and the whole sweet experience will happen. And all the devotees involved there are experiencing Krishna's reciprocation there. So all this will happen by a devotee's desire. Devotee says, let there be a temple in this place. Temple will manifest. Along with temple, so many things will manifest. Right? When a karmi desires, let there be marriage here. Right? Along with marriage, so many things will happen. So much network entanglement. Right? He is caught up in a cocoon. Similarly, when a devotee desires, let there be some service. Service will expand, expand, expand. 48th verse. Navama kalma karma kalpopi vifalayeshwararpita kalpate purushasyaiva sahyatma daito hita.
Activities dedicated to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even if performed in small measure, never go in vain. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, being the Supreme Father, is naturally very dear and always ready to act for the good of the living entities.
So activities, this is continuation in continuation of the previous verse. Activities dedicated to Supreme Personality of Godhead, even if performed in a small measure, never go in vain. Neha vikramana sosti pratyavayona vidyate. Svalpamapyasya dharmasya. Trayato mahato bhayat. You do small amount of endeavor, you get a big result. That is the nature of devotional service. But karma case is, you do big endeavor, mahat dukkham you experience, then you will get kshulla sukham. Right? You do klesha bhuri, then you will get alpasara. That is the nature of materialistic activities. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead, being the Supreme Father, is naturally very dear and always ready to act for the good of living entities. Like that. Svalpamapyasya dharmasya. Prabhupada quotes that. So Ajamil is there. He did some devotional service in the beginning of his life. and then at the time of his death, Vaikuntha Vasis came to protect him, like that. Prabhupada in the previous purport said, if the devotees continue to spread this movement, dedicating life and soul to the lotus feet of Krishna, no one will be able to check it. Dedication is important. Right? Prabhupada focused on the previous last word. Na tatraiva arpitam tvayi. Arpitam tvayi. If someone is dedicated to Krishna, dedicated to the Lord, then, you know, what is that? Continue to spread. They will be able to continue to spread. And movement will go forward without limits. Chant Hare Krishna. That's how Prabhupada ended the purport. So in this purport, Prabhupada says, devotional service is so important that even if performed to a very small, almost negligible extent, it will give one supreme result. Just now we were discussing that verse in the junior batch. Nayadvachas Chitra. What is the next verse? Nayadvachas. Tadvag visargo janatagha viplo yasmin pratishlokam abadhyamatyapi. Even if every verse that is composed is not a proper meter, not in proper chandas, still, if it is for the glorification of Krishna, they create revolution in the sinful lives of people. Like that. Yasmin pratishlokam abadhyamatyapi namani anandasya yashonkitaniyat srinvanti gayanti ghrananti sadhavaha. So mundane literatures, whatever ornamental words you may be using, chitrapadam, right? If they are devoid of Hare Yasho, they are decorations of dead body. Otherwise, if they are utilized in glorifying Krishna, then even if they are not done in a proper way, still they create revolution in the impious lives of misdirected civilization. Prabhupada says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually the only object of our love. Very important. As long as we are in this material world, we may have so many desires to fulfill, but when we come in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we immediately become perfect and fully satisfied. Just like a child when it reaches the lap of mother, full satisfaction, right? He is not looking here and there, fully satisfied. So similarly, we need to understand that our only dearmost object is Krishna, right? Primarily, everyone is connected with Krishna. Every object is connected with Krishna. Every living entity is connected with Krishna. So the object or living entity is in right position only if it is connected with Krishna. What is the meaning of a branch or leaf if it is disconnected from the tree? How long it will stay? So all the conditioned souls are like disconnected leaves or branches from the Krishna tree. They should be reconnected like that. And the connection between the leaves and branches will also stay intact only when they are connected with the tree. Now, the tree is there. There are two leaves connected to that tree. Right? You pluck out those two leaves and then put them at one place only. Right? They can embrace each other. They can stay. They can sleep. They can eat. They can do everything together. But they will not stay for a long time. They will wither away because they are not connected with the tree. Similarly, the association of two souls also is meaningful only when there is Krishna in the center. Only when there is Krishna Katha in the center, only when there is Krishna service in the center. Otherwise, the association of two souls has no meaning. Like that. Just like the association of two leaves or two branches of a tree, when they are not connected with the tree, that has no meaning. They will not survive for long. Similarly, devotees also should keep Krishna in the center of their relationships. Otherwise, the so-called close relationships or loving relationships will not endure for long. Then, 49th verse. Prabhupada also quotes Akama Sarvakam over here. 49, this is also important. Yathahi skanda shakhanam taror mula avasechanam evam aradhanam vishnoha sarvesham atmanaschahi.
When one pours water on the root of a tree, the trunk and branches of the tree are automatically pleased. Similarly, when one becomes a devotee of Lord Vishnu, everyone is served, for the Lord is the super soul of everyone.
Yathahi skanda shakhanam taror mula avasechanam. Avasechanam means pouring water. Right? This is a very similar to yatha taror mola nishechanena tripyanti tat khanda bhujopashaka. Where does it come? Bharat Maharaj. Fourth canto Prachetas. Narada Muni speaks to Prachetas. Bharat Maharaj, this one. Prahlad Maharaj. No, this is 4.31.14. Okay. Same meaning. Same, similar meaning. Yathahi skanda shakhanam taror moolavashechanam. Evam aradhanam Vishno sarvesham atmanasihi. So, if Vishnu is served, everyone is served. So, manav seva, madhav seva, that is not valid. Madhav seva, manav seva, that is perfect. Like that. Aradhananam sarvesham. So, Prabhupada quotes a verse which is even superior to yatha taror moolanishechanam. So, serving Vishnu nahi. Superior to serving Vishnu is serving his devotee. Right, aradhananam sarvesham Vishnu or aradhanam param, that this verse is saying that. But tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samarpanam. So if you satisfy Vishnu, you are satisfying everyone. But if you are satisfying a devotee, you are satisfying Vishnu. Right? So worshipping a devotee or serving a devotee is superior to worshipping Vishnu also. One can achieve all the results of worshipping all the demigods by worshipping Krishna, like that, just by worshipping Vishnu. Now, last verse. Namastubhyam anantaya durvitarkyatmakar karmane nirgunaya guneshaya sattvasthaya cha sampratam. Someone read.
My Lord, all obeisances unto you, who are eternal beyond time limits of past, present and future. You are inconceivable in your activities. You are the master of three modes of material nature. And being transcendental to all material qualities, you are free from material contamination. You are the controller of all the three modes of nature. But at present, you are in favor of the quality of goodness. Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto you.
Okay, so this is like another general glorification is given. He is Anantaya, everlasting. Then Durvitarka, Atma Karmani. So your activities are inconceivable beyond the reach of any Tarka. Right? Nirgunaya, we are transcendental, no material gunas. Guna Ishaya, you are the controller of modes. Sattvasthaya, you are favoring the quality of goodness. Right? Why this is mentioned here? Sattvasthaya. Now, the whole intention of Brahmaji is to invoke goodness in the creation for the maintenance phase. So, that was the intention with which the whole prayers and the whole episode of approaching Vishnu to favor the demigods happened. Right? Sampratam. Okay, at present, there is a need to invoke the prominence of goodness. So, we are coming to take your shelter. So let's briefly revise the prayers. 26th verse, the prayer started. So 26th verse explains the different qualities of Lord's form that are transcendental, that are beyond matter. Right? Then 27th verse describes the Lord's omniscience, how the Lord is all-knower. Right? How the Lord is always awake, anidra. Then 28th verse describes the wheel of samsara. And Lord is the central support of that wheel and one has to surrender unto the Lord. So the method of the surrender is described in the 29th verse. How to become a dhira and to come out of the control of modes. So 30th verse describes Lord's power of controlling this maya, controlling this samsara. Because Lord, this maya is subdued by the Lord. Right, so we surrender unto you. And 31st verse describes, it is very difficult to understand the Lord, even by great demigods who are in mode of goodness. What to speak of people who are in mode of passion and ignorance. So, it is difficult to understand Lord's form, original form, Swarupa. But people are familiar with Lord's external form, which is this universe. So, the next 12 verses, 32 to 42, describe the universal form of the Lord. And the recurring line in that 12 verses is prasidatam brahma prasidatam na samaha vibhuti. right? So 32nd verse describes that this whole material creation rests on the Lord's lotus feet. 33, water is Lord's semen. 34, moon is Lord's mind. 35, fire is Lord's mouth. 36, sun is Lord's eye. 37, prana is the Lord's vital force. Right? 38, 39, 40, they describe different emanations from the Lord, how directions are emanated from his ears, how goddess of fortune came out of his chest, how different demigods came out, and 41st verse describe how different varnas came out of different limbs of Lord's body. 42nd verse also describes how the negative qualities like greed, lust, etc. are generated from Lord's body. Then 43rd verse concludes that this material world is very difficult to understand. Right? So it is very difficult to understand, but what we can understand is Lord is the controller of this material creation. Although the details of material creation are difficult to understand even for great learned men, so they rejected this material creation. So 44th verse describes that Lord himself is detached from this material world. 43 says devotees or great learned people rejected this material world, Lord is detached from this material world. So material world is eliminated. Eliminated means it's detached. It is described that it is worth detached, being detached from material world. So 45th verse says, please show your original form. Right? 46th verse says that you can show your original form because you are appearing every now and then in every millennium and showing your form. Now also you can show your form to us. So 47th verse says, karmis, endeavor a lot for meager result, but devotees will not be like that. 48th verse continues, saying that even if a devotee does a meager amount of devotional service, he will get a very great result. Right? So 49th verse says that by worshipping you, everyone is already satisfied. Right? You are like the root of the entire existence. Just like when one waters the root, the whole plant is satisfied. Similarly, by worshipping you, everyone is satisfied. So we are ready to worship you. So please, we are worshipping you. Please invoke mode of goodness. Please allow the demigods to flourish. Now the demons are flourishing. Please let the demigods flourish. So this is the flow of the verses. Now we'll begin the 6th chapter after a short break. So now I request His Grace Radhesham Prabhu to give his comments on this section.
Hare Krishna. I had a couple of points. One about giving up the material world by hearing from great souls. Prabhupada says that in that purport he writes towards the end, that is 43. He says that although we cannot understand the functions of this material world, whether it is good for us or bad for us, in accordance with the advice of the supreme authority, we must reject it and go back home, back to Godhead. The Prabhupada writes at the end of the purport. And in the middle of the purport, he says, materialists may argue, if this material world and its affairs are impossible to understand, then how can we reject it? The answer is provided by the word, Prabhudapa Badam. We have to reject this material world because it is rejected by those who are learned in Vedic wisdom. Even though we cannot understand what this material world is, we should be ready to reject it in accordance with the advice of learned persons, especially the advice of Krishna, Dukalaya Mashashvatam, he says. So, this is a very important verse and statement made here, that those people who wish to have their own experience, they are considered foolish or less intelligent. Rather, those who give respect to the words of wisdom spoken by great authorities, they are considered truly intelligent people. The Prabhupada says that in Nectar of Instruction also, the most intelligent person is one who learns by hearing, not by experiencing. So here comes a very important consideration, how much we value the words of great souls. Here the great soul is not just anybody, Krishna himself is quoting Dukalaya Mashashvatam. So you will find as the children grow up, when they come to teenage, there is a lot of idle curiosity, we call it. Idle curiosity means there is some curiosity to enjoy the world around without the sanction of the parents, without the knowledge of parents or sanction of parents. So that idle curiosity itself becomes a source of danger for their bright future, like that. Similarly, the living entities also in this world, they struggle hard to realize the fact that this is the Kalayam Ashashvatam. And Prabhupada says in the path of Bhakti Yoga, it's like getting into a lift. You know, you get into a lift, it takes you to 100-story building directly without any endeavor. If you just have faith in the shelter what we have received. So, the key word here is giving weight to the words of the wise. We have to give weight to the words of the great souls who have spoken wise words, and we have to literally take their instructions and not analyze them or evaluate them or try to realize them by our own experience. Rather, we take their weight. Just like we were in Mayapur, Gurukul, in those days there were only 10-12 children, small children. Now there are a lot of children there. So we took a group of 40-50 boys to go to see the Gurukul. So one of our students, of course the students are all from city, so they asked them hanky-panky questions also. So they were asking, what is your future plan? You know. So one of the boys said, future plan means I keep on surrendering to Krishna more and more. Then they asked, but if you marry, what will happen? They said, if you marry, then me and my wife, we will become preachers of Krishna consciousness. He said, but what is your plan for your job and money earning and all? All that Krishna will take care, they were saying. So then they asked the children, you know, have you seen Krishna? Yes, they said. No. Oh, really? Where do you see Krishna? Where did you see? Here only in Mayapur. You have not seen Radha Madhav? They were asking. They said, no, that is deity. But you are asking, actually have you seen Krishna? So the child said, oh, Radha Madhav is Sri Vigraha. If anyone thinks Sri Vigraha is different from the Lord, he is an atheist. You know, the child was saying, it was just about 7-year-old boy, you know, and our boys were clean bold, you know. So they were saying, what kind of deep faith this child has? Then they asked, who told you? He says, Prabhupada has told, and our Guru Maharaj also has said, Bhaktivedanta Purna Maharaj. So because they have said that this is the Lord himself, we will accept him as it is, without any doubt. And this is how, when Sarvam Bhattacharya told Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prataprudra accepted it. Because he knew that he is the most intelligent person he had come across in his life. If he says this is Sakshat Krishna, he also accepted it as such. So that is how Prataprudra received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya also subsequently. So that is one point here. And another point regarding social service, Prabhuji was saying nicely about how Krishna should be the center of all relationships. For example, imagine your right hand has a Mysore Pak and left hand has a laddu, and they both make a plan to exchange with each other and enjoy. So he gives Mysore Pak, he gives laddu, and both of them are massaging. They will never be able to be happy without feeding the belly. So two living entities cannot enjoy with one another without reference to Krishna. So the Krishna is the belly. So without giving to belly. So this is one point. Another point Prabhupada says in one of his lectures, energy cannot enjoy energy. Only energetic can enjoy the energies. So Krishna is energetic and we all are energies. So one energy cannot enjoy another energy. Only energetic can enjoy the energy. So we can only be enjoyed by Krishna. We cannot become the enjoyer. Enjoyer is only the energetic, he says. So in that way, it becomes very crystal clear that the so-called philanthropic movements and social welfare movements are eyewash. They will never be able to reach to the core necessities of the soul. No. The core need of the soul, or the hunger or thirst of the soul, is actually want of Krishna's love. Without addressing the actual need, simply pampering them with superficial benefits, trying to benefit them is simply cheating. And also as Prabhuji rightly said, Krishna should be the center of all relationships. If you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you will see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's whether he cries, whether he laughs, whether he jokes, whether he is serious. In all these occasions you will find there is some exchange about Krishna. Just like you see Swarup Damodar and Srivas, they are having argument about whether Vrindavan is superior or Vaikuntha is superior. So there is almost like a heated argument. Mahaprabhu gets into it also, and he derives a lot of fun in that. So you will find in all the relationships with Vaishnavas, Mahaprabhu always is 24 hours Krishna conscious, you will see. So the relationship between devotees is genuine and deep rooted and long lasting, and the relationship continues to exist beyond death also if Krishna is the center.
Yes,
we often see in the Rupa Goswami's teaching anasaktasya visayan. So can you reconcile the difference? Here it is, emphasis put on more on rejection, and we ourselves, we preachers, we go out and say there's nothing to renounce because we are not the owners. Why do we have to renounce? We just have to use. So can you please reconcile the contradiction here?
Actually, if you read the translation, all learned men say that the five elements, eternal time, fruitive activity and three modes of material nature, and the varieties produced by these modes are all creations of Yogamaya. This material world is therefore extremely difficult to understand, but those who are highly learned have rejected it. So the very connotation is 99.9% of the living entities in this world, they try to exploit and enjoy the material resources. So here the point of discussion is how such futile endeavor to enjoy this world is very pathetic. And the intelligent person will not struggle hard to enjoy the material nature. So here there are only two questions. Should we try to enjoy and exploit the material nature and get kicks and learn lessons? Or we should give up the desire to exploit and enjoy the material world by hearing the words of the great authorities. So those are the only two points in consideration here. And the idea of taking the items of the world and using it in Lord's service based on the principle of anasaktasya vishayan yatharham upayunjita, that is definitely a correct concept which has its place in another discussion. Whereas here the discussion is only twofold. Should we make an endeavor to enjoy and get defeated? Or should we just hear the words of the great souls and just and reject the idea of enjoying, understanding this world to be like a dream? We will never be able to enjoy it. Actually, this is being told so firmly here because only a person who first rejects the world completely, then only he can go for Yukta Vairagya, because Vairagya comes before Yukta Vairagya. Otherwise, if Vairagya is not there, the Yukta Vairagya can become very dangerous for one who has not yet given up the enjoying propensity inside. Actually, there is one verse in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, definition of Uttama Bhagavat. Grihitva api indriyair arthan yona dveshti nahrishyati Vishnor mayam idam pashyan savai bhagavatottamah. So this verse says, grihitva api indriyair arthan, a pure devotee can even accept the objects of the senses. Like Haridas Thakur accepted the prostitute's presence next to him. Similarly, you will find Pundarika Vidyanadi accepted all the objects of the senses. Grihitva api indriyair arthan yona dveshti na hrishyati, he says. He is not averse to them and he doesn't delight in them. Then what he does? Vishnor mayam idam pashyan. He says, understanding that to be Vishnu Maya, Savai Bhagavatottama, he says, then he is the Bhagavatottama. So when we come to the platform of Na Dveshti and Na Hrishyati, from that point we will be able to use based on the principle of Yukta Vairagya. Either we have that realization ourselves, or if we don't have it, then also we can engage in Yukta Vairagya and Guru Parampara, but we have to exercise great caution always, because there is always the possibility of becoming attached or averse towards the things of the world.
Thank you, bro. So we'll take a short break, then we'll start the 8th chapter, say 6th chapter. Root.
Yeah, he is the root of our demigods and sacrifices. That could be we are having, but Tibet is very good. I have seen.
Yeah,
very nice.
Not all there are any corrections, because you will be telling me if I made a
that is very perfect. That is very nice.
Should I proceed?
Yeah, please proceed.
Hare Krishna. So we'll begin the 6th chapter. Shri Shuka Uvacha Evam Stutasura Ganair Bhagavan Haririshvara Tesham Avirabhudrajan Sahasrarko Dayadyutihi.
Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, O King Parichit, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, being thus worshipped with prayers by the demigods and Lord Brahma, appeared before them. His bodily effulgence resembled the simultaneous rising of thousands of suns.
Simultaneous rising of thousands of suns. Sahasra arka udaya dyutihi. Sahasra arka udaya dyutihi. So that is the effect of Lord's effulgence. Teneva sahasa sarve deva pratihate kshanah Napashyan kham disha kshaunim Atmanam chakuto vibhum.
The vision of all the demigods was blocked by the Lord's effulgence. Thus they could see neither the sky, the directions, the land, nor even themselves. What to speak of seeing the Lord who was present before them?
So much effulgence, they couldn't see the Lord only. So now next four verses describe the Lord's beauty, Lord's form. Vrinjo Bhagavan Drishtva Sahasarvena Tam Tanum Svacham Marakatasyamam Kanjagarbharunekshanam Taptahema Vadatena Lasat Kausheya Vasasa Prasanna Charu Sarvangim Sumukhim Sundara Bhruvam Mahamanikari Tena Keyurabhyam Chabhushitam Karnabharana Nirbhata Kapola Sri Mukhambujam Kanchi Kalapa Valaya Haranu Purashobhitam Kaustubhabharanam Lakshmim Bibhratim Vanamalinim Sudarshana Dibhiswastrair Murtimadbhir Upasitam tushtvadeva pravara sasarva purusham param sarvamara gunaih sakam sarvangair avanim gataihi.
Lord Brahma, along with Lord Shiva, saw the crystal clear personal beauty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose blackish body resembles a Markata gem, whose eyes are reddish like the depths of a lotus, who is dressed with garments that are yellow like molten gold, and whose entire body is attractively decorated. They saw his beautiful smiling lotus-like face, crowned by a helmet bedecked with valuable jewels. The Lord has attractive eyebrows and his cheeks are adorned with earrings. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva saw the belt on the Lord's waist, the bangles on his arms, the necklace on his chest, and the ankle bells on his legs. The Lord is bedecked with flower garlands, his neck is decorated with the Kaustubha gem, and he carries with him the goddess of fortune and his personal weapons like his disc and club. When Lord Brahma, along with Lord Shiva and the other demigods, thus saw the form of the Lord, they all immediately fell to the ground, offering their obeisances.
So, yeah, this set of verses are describing Lord's form, beauty, his ornaments, his garlands, his bodily complexion, right? Swachham, Marakata Shyamam, blackish complexion. Then, Tapta Hema Vadatena Lasat Kausheya Vasasa. Yellowish garments, prasanna charu sarvangim, all limbs are very pleasing. Sumukhim, sundara bhravam, beautiful eyebrows, beautiful face, description. So even Rudragita also we will find this description. Teachings of Lord Kapila 3.28, we find this kind of description. So several places Bhagavatam describes the beauty of the Lord. Huh? Dhruva's episode also, beauty. Yeah, Narada Muni speaks to Dhruva. Then Lord presents himself in Daksha's sacrificial arena. There also beautiful description is there. So, various places. So now one more set of prayers. First chapter prayers, second chapter break, third chapter prayers, fourth chapter break, fifth and sixth chapter second prayers. Seventh also we'll have some, but towards Lord Shiva. Shri Brahma Vacha Ajata Janma Sthiti Samyamaya Gunaya Nirvana Sukharnavaya Anor Animne Pariganyadhamne Mahanubhavaya Namo Namaste.
Lord Brahma said, although you are never born, your appearance and disappearance as an incarnation never cease. You are always free from the material qualities and you are the shelter of transcendental bliss resembling an ocean. Eternally existing in your transcendental form, you are the supreme subtle of the most extremely subtle. We therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto you, the supreme, whose existence is inconceivable.
In one point from Chakravartipat's commentary, I think. So, in the previous verse, the lotus face had cheeks that are lit by the earrings of the Supreme Lord. Right? He wears earrings. So, the glitter of the earrings is reflected on his cheeks and then they are shining. Something similar to Damodar Ashtakam description. Lasat Kundalam Gokule Bhrajamanam. So, after seeing that form, all the demigods immediately fell. Sarvangair, avanim gatihi, gataihi. So, everyone fell and offered obeisances and then began offering prayers. So, in this particular verse, 8th verse, Brahmaji is saying, Lord's form doesn't have limit. His form is manifested through his achintya shakti, inconceivable. So, Lord has a form that doesn't have limit. So, although Lord is never born, he constantly appears, he constantly disappears. Appearance, somebody who is never born, where is the question of appearance or disappearance? Right? But still, that is a Nitya Lila, it just always goes on. So you are always free from material qualities and you are shelter of transcendental bliss, resembling an ocean. So Prabhupada gives in the purport about Lord's birth. Lord is unborn. Ajopisan avyayatma bhutanam ishwaropisan prakritim svam adishtaya sambhavami atmamayaya. Then why the Lord appears? Yada yada hi dharmasya. What is the science behind it? He appears by atmamayaya, by his own energy. Right? His birth is not like ordinary conditioned souls' birth and death. And all his incarnations are eternal. And all his all the activities that the incarnations are performing, they are also eternal. Right? So Lord's body activities, they are all transcendental. Chakravarti Pad says, the Lord does not have a destruction of his birth and maintenance. This means that the forms like Krishna and Rama have eternal birth and maintenance. Like that. So just because Lord doesn't have a birth or death, like a material conditioned soul, he doesn't have the miseries of birth and death. So Lord is unborn, but still he appears and disappears. Although he is having appearance and disappearance, it is not like the birth and death of conditioned soul, which is inherently having some misery associated with it. So Lord is appearing and disappearing, but he does not have the misery. So he has no material qualities. So because he is not affected by modes. So the body, his body is a reservoir of bliss. Just like material body is a reservoir of diseases, Lord's body is a reservoir of bliss. Like that. Now, some atheists may argue, right? Anything that has a form is limited, right? But our argument is, material form is limited. So even in material form also, the form is not limited, the matter is limited. Right? So Lord has a form. Form is not limited. Right? When the living entity is having a material form, the matter is limited, but the forms are unlimited, and the form also is existing throughout. Right? So matter limits actually. So now somebody is in this in certain form. Right? One may say that he doesn't because he has a form, he is not constantly existing. Right? Somebody may argue like that. No, because he is in this material form, he is not constantly existing. So matter is limiting him, not the form is limiting him. Like that. He can exist in this form in some other way also. But in this specific combination of this material elements, his existence is not eternal. Like that. So our body is limited because it is made of matter, okay? Not because that it has a form. So atheistic argument that whatever is having certain form, that is limited, that is not correct, right? Whatever is made of matter can be limited, like that. Then, now further aspects of Lord's form are explained in the 9th verse. Rupam tava itat purushar shabhejyam Shreyortibhir vaidikatar tantrikena Yogena dhata sahanas trilokan Pashyamamumshin uha vishvamurtau.
O best of persons, O supreme director, those who actually aspire for supreme good, for good fortune, worship this form of your lordship according to the Vedic Tantras. My lord, we can see all the three worlds in you.
So Lord's form is eternal. Chakravarti Pad begins his purport like this. Lord's form is eternal and immeasurable. Right? So they are seeing all the three worlds in Lord's form. Means it's immeasurable form. Right? And the Lord's form is eternally existing also. Then the Lord's form is worshipped by this Pancharatrika, other Vedic literatures, right? Pancharatrika methods. So not at the present moment also. Chakravarti Pada says, Lord is worshipped according to Vedas or Pancharatrik methods, not at the present moment only. He is eternally worshipped. Right? So whoever is actually aspiring for good fortune, worship this form according to Vedic Tantras. Not at the present moment only, eternally. He is constantly being worshipped. Now, Lord, my question. You are devatas. You also are famous objects of worship. You also receive worship. So now they answer. True, but they are all included in your worship. Our worship is included in your worship. When someone is offering oblations, right, to different devatas, so ideally they are the limbs of the Supreme Lord, right? So by offering oblations to Vishnu, all the others are already satisfied. Like that. Yasmin vignate sarvamiva vignatam bhavati. So Prabhupada brings out another nice theme that when the devotee sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his meditation, or when he sees the Lord personally face to face, he becomes aware of everything within the universe. So Lord's darshan, or coming in contact with the Lord, will reveal all the knowledge also. Nothing remains unknown to such a devotee. And how does it happen? To understand the Lord fully, one should first approach a bona fide spiritual master. Yasmin vignate sarvam evam vignatam bhavati, that will happen through the medium of spiritual master. If you know the Lord nicely, then you will know everything. So what does it mean? You know the Lord completely from a spiritual master, then you will know everything. How does that knowing of Lord happen? By tadviddhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. By approaching a spiritual master, asking inquiries, and then serving him. So one who is able to worship him can see everything in him and sees him in everything. Like that. So Krishna, one who knows Krishna knows everything. And how to know Krishna? Through Guru, through disciplic succession. So how is the Lord form of this universe is explained in the 10th verse. Tvayagra asit, tvayi madhya asit. Tvayanta asid idamatma tantre. Tvamadiranto jagatosya madhyam. Ghatasya mrutsneva parah parasmat.
My dear Lord, who are always fully independent, this entire cosmic manifestation arises from you, rests upon you and ends in you. Your Lordship is the beginning, sustenance and the end of everything, like the earth, which is the cause of an earthen pot, which supports the pot, and to which the pot, when broken, finally returns.
Very beautiful concept explained here. Tvai agra asit, tvai madhya asit, tvai anta asit. You are there in the beginning of creation. You are there in the maintenance phase, middle of the creation. You are there at the end of creation also. Right? Idam Atma Tantre. Everything is under Idam Atma Tantre. Is under your full control. It is fully under your control. In the beginning, in the middle, and in the end. Then, Tvam Adir Anto Jagatosya Madhyam. You are the Adi, beginning, Anta, ending. Then, Madhyam, the middle of this Jagat. How? An example is given. Ghatasya Mritsneva Parah Parasmat. Ghatasya mrutsyeva means, for example, a pot is there, earthen pot. The beginning of earthen pot is what? Earth. Right? How does the earth pot comes into existence? Because of clay. Then what is the middle of the pot? Where will the pot be supported? On the earth. Right? What is the end of the pot? When the pot is broken, it will mix into the earth. So similarly, Lord is the source of everything. Just like earth is there throughout the existence of the pot, similarly, Lord is there throughout the existence of the earth. Now, Acharyas give a nice explanation here that does the Lord also get transformed like the earth in this analogy? In this analogy, earth is getting transformed into pot. Right? So, similarly, earth is explained to be the basis of pot in its beginning, middle, and end. So, but earth itself, we are observing that earth is transforming itself into the pot. So similarly, is the Lord also getting transformed into this universe, Jagat? So the answer is no. The earth gets transformed into pot, but the Lord is different from the Prakriti. Lord is the source of this Prakriti. Okay, Lord is the sustenance of this Prakriti. Lord is the end of this material nature. Right? After the dissolution, the whole Pradhan, everything enters into him. Right? But it's not like exactly like earth and pot analogy. Right? Prakriti or Pradhan transforms into universe and not the Lord himself. So this is the whole basis of this Parinamavad and Vivartavad. So Vivartavad says everything is Maya. Right? Because Vyasadeva says everything is Parinamavada, everything is a transformation of Lord's energy. So the whole Pradhan and Prakriti that we see, that is a transformation of Lord's energy. It's not that Lord got transformed. So when Vyasadeva explained this Parinamavada as the transformation of Lord's energies, Shankaracharya gave an interpretation that Vyasadeva is confused, he is saying that Lord is transformed. So Lord is not transformed, Lord's energies are transformed. Just like earth is transforming into pot, right? Lord is not transforming into universe. Lord's energies are transforming into universe. Like that. No, he is aloof. Vivartavad is a theory of illusion. So just like in Parinamavad, the explanation is everything is a transformation of Lord's energy. But Shankaracharya confused that everything is not a... when Vyasadeva is explaining that everything is a transformation of energy, Shankaracharya misinterpreted it, saying that Vyasadeva explains that Lord is transformed. So how can Lord be transformed? Right? So that's whatever we see, all the transformations that we see is Maya. That is theory of illusion. That is called Vivartavad. So all the varieties that we are seeing here is Maya. That is according to Shankaracharya. But according to Vyasadeva, all the transformations, all the details that we see here is transformation of Lord's energies. Like that. It's clear, no? Now, 11th verse. Now this explanation is given by Chakravarti Pad that it's not exactly like earth-pot analogy where earth is getting transformed into pot, but Lord's energies get transformed, Lord is not transformed. So now does it mean that Prakriti or Pradhan is the cause of universe and not the Lord? So now explanation is given that Prakriti and Pradhan are getting transformed, not Lord is not getting transformed. So does it mean that Lord is not the cause? Prakriti or Pradhan is the cause? That is answered in 11th verse. Tvam mayaya atma shrayaya svayedam nirmaya vishvam tadanupravishta pashyanti yukta manasa manishano gunavyavahe pyagunam vipaschita.
O Supreme, you are independent in yourself and do not take help from others. Through your own potency, you create this cosmic manifestation and enter into it. Those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness, who are fully in knowledge of the authoritative Shastra and who through the practice of Bhakti Yoga are cleansed all material contamination, can see with clear minds that although you exist within the transformations of the material qualities, your presence is untouched by these qualities.
So Lord is present throughout. Right? Lord's energies are getting transformed. And Lord will enter those transformations also of material qualities. He will exist within the transformations of material qualities. But his presence is untouched by all these qualities, all these modes. Like that. He is aloof. Mayadhyakshena Prakriti. He plays the role of Adhyaksha. Right? He doesn't come under the control of it. Hetuna anena kaunteya jagat viparivartate. So that's one thing. Although Lord exists within the transformation of the material qualities, his presence is untouched. Right? So who can realize the truth about you? Right? Those who are well versed with the knowledge, Vedic knowledge, devotees. That is also mentioned here. Those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness, who are fully in knowledge of the authority of the Shastra and who, through the practice of Bhakti Yoga, are cleansed of all material contamination, can see with clear mind this fact that Lord's presence is untouched by modes, although Lord enters this whole process. So how does it happen? Although Prabhupada here explains through the practice of Bhakti Yoga, but the through the practice of Bhakti Yoga will be actually revealed in 12th verse. Right? So advanced souls will understand this through the medium of Bhakti Yoga. That is explained in 12th verse. Yatha agni medhas chamrutam jagoshu bhuvyannamambudyamanecha vrittim yogairmanushya adhiyanti hitvam guneshu buddhya kavayo vadanti.
As one can derive fire from wood, milk from the milk bag of the cow, food, grains and water from the land, and prosperity in one's livelihood from industrial enterprises, so by the practice of Bhakti Yoga, even within this material world, one can achieve your favor or intelligently approach you. Those who are pious all affirm this.
So here, Bhakti Yoga, through Bhakti Yoga, one can achieve Lord's favor even in this material world. That is emphasized. And Bhakti Yoga is compared to several examples. Now, one example is fire from wood. Just like one can kindle fire from wood, similarly, one can get the knowledge or the process or the learning of the process of Bhakti Yoga from a teacher. Chakravarti nicely gives explanation of all these examples. So, one example is fire from wood. One can kindle fire from wood. Similarly, one can get knowledge of the process of Bhakti Yoga from a guru. Right? Then second example is given. This milk coming from milk bag. Here one important process is there. The Goshala devotees may know. Before milking the milk bag of the cow, if the calf goes and drinks the milk, milking process will become easy. Once the cow is satisfied that I have fed my child, fed my calf, then it will, whatever is the remaining milk, it will profusely give to the human being. Right? But the modern way is like keeping the calf aside and then just extracting that milk through machines. Like that. So here, an example is given about the profusion of bhakti, which arises from a seed of bhakti from previous life. Oh, sorry, I'm going to the third example. Second example is, milking the cow will be easy when the calf sucks the udder. Similarly, through the help of devotees, one can practice the process of bhakti easily. Right? First example is what? Fire from wood. Similarly, learning bhakti from teacher. Second example is milk from cow's udder. What does it indicate? When a calf drinks the milk, then milking process will be easy. Similarly, when you learn it from an association of devotees, process becomes easy. Third example is about cultivating food grains, right? Cultivating the earth with seeds, right? What does it indicate? It indicates a profusion of bhakti, which arises from a seed of bhakti from previous lives. So when you plant a seed in the earth, plant will come out. The plant will come out of the seed. Similarly, the seed is coming from the previous lives, so bhakti will just flourish. Then another example, fourth example is given. Digging the earth. By digging the earth, one will get water. Right? When you dig the earth, you will get water from the earth, right? So that is previous association with devotees. An example is given to show that if one has previous association of devotees, one attains strong bhakti and the obstacles disappear. So digging the earth for water is compared to previous association of devotees. Now the last example is endeavoring in one's craft is such as singing or dancing, one obtains a means of living. So Prabhupada says that as earning livelihood by industrial enterprises in the modern context. So this is indicating that those who have attained bhakti attain the Lord eternally simply by worship. Like that. Industrial enterprises, these endeavors are compared to worshipping the Lord. Right? Five examples. One, kindling fire from wood means learning bhakti from teacher. Second, milking cow from cow's udder means allowing the calf to first suck, which means with the help of devotees, process will become easy. Third, cultivating the earth with seeds means getting the seed of bhakti from previous lives. Fourth, digging the earth for water means having previous association of devotees. Final is industrial enterprises, right? Getting livelihood from industrial enterprises is indicating worshipping the Supreme Lord, right? Current endeavor. So this is how one can achieve the Lord's favor even in this material world through the process of bhakti yoga. Now Prabhupada, some points by Prabhupada. One cannot see the Lord in material world even though he is all pervading, but devotees can see him through practice of bhakti yoga, not by karma, jnana and yoga. So bhakti yoga is compared to various other processes here, we explained here. Prabhupada also explains something similar. But in that context of milking cow, Prabhupada elaborates on the milk. Milk prolongs one's life duration. Right? That is there in the third paragraph, in page number 215. You can read. Then agriculture and cow protection are the way of becoming sinless and thus be attracted to devotional service. So industrial enterprises may involve sin, but agriculture and cow protection will not involve much sin. However, in Kali Yuga, all people are sinful. Thus, there is no other way but chanting holy names. So Prabhupada ends the purport by saying, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Eva Kevalam. So, 13th verse. Now, how do all these demigods feel after seeing the Lord? Now, in the earlier prayer, after 25 prayers, Lord gave darshan. So now, demigods are explaining the effect of that darshan on them. That is in the 13th verse. Tam tvam vayam natha samujjihanam sarojana bhati chirepsitartham drishtvagata nirvrutam adya sarve gajadavarta ivagangam ambha.
Elephants afflicted by the forest fire become very happy when they get water from the Ganges. Similarly, O my Lord, from whose navel grew a lotus flower, since you have now appeared before us, we have become transcendentally happy. By seeing your Lordship, whom we have desired to see for a very long time, we have achieved our ultimate goal in life.
So they are extremely happy by seeing Lord's darshan. Prabhupada explains in the purport that devotees are very eager to have Lord's darshan, but they don't demand it. So pure devotee, whether able to see the Lord or unable to see the Lord, always engages himself hoping that sometime the Lord may be pleased to appear before him. So seeing Krishna is not as important as hearing about Krishna or engaging in his service. Right? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also says that you don't try to see Krishna, you serve Krishna in such a way that he wants to see you. So that point Prabhupada brings out here. So finally, what is the purpose of praying to see the Lord? That is revealed in the 14th verse. Sattvam vidhatsva khila lokapala vayam yadarthas tavapada moolam samagataste bahirartha bahirantaratman kimvanya vinjapyamashesha sakshina.
My Lord, we the various demigods, the director of the universe, have come to your lotus feet. Please fulfill the purpose of which we have come. You are the witness of everything from within and without. Nothing is unknown to you, and therefore it is unnecessary to inform you again of anything.
So they say, you know for what purpose we have approached you. So you know it. So better you only give the solution. So Prabhupada says in the purport that nothing is unknown to Krishna. So he knows what we need. Our duty is to simply execute order of Krishna and Guru. Then all necessities will be supplied by Krishna, even if we do not ask for them. Like that. So finally, Lord may ask, what benediction you want? So 15th verse, they are expressing. Aham giritrascha suradayo ye dakshadayogner ivaketa vaste kimva vidamesha prathak vibhata vidhatsva samno vidhatsva samno dvijadeva mantram.
I, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and all the demigods, accompanied by the Prajapatis like Daksha, are nothing but sparks illuminated by you. You are the original fire. Since we are particles of you, what can we understand about our welfare? O Supreme Lord, please give us the means of deliverance that is suitable for the Brahmanas and demigods.
So please give us Dvijadeva Mantram. Right, the means of deliverance. Mantra means what delivers, that which delivers. The means of deliverance suitable for Brahmanas and demigods. That's what we request from you. So unless one gets a mantra from the Lord, deliverance is impossible. Prabhupada speaks about Gayatri mantra, is the original mantra. One can be delivered by chanting this mantra. However, is suitable only for the Brahmanas and demigods, not for Kali Yuga people. Therefore, Mahaprabhu gives Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So we cannot invent any means to be delivered from the dangers of material existence. Even the demigods cannot. So they are asking, Dvija Deva Mantram, you give us. Dvija Deva Mantram, for the means of deliverance of Dvijas, Brahmanas, Devas, demigods. So they are asking for the Lord. Asking the Lord for the mantra. So how can we invent some mantra? We also have to ask the Lord only. That is Prabhupada's point. So finally, Lord is responding. 16th to 26th verse. Next 11 verses are Lord's instructions to the demigods. See what kind of mantra he gives. Shri Shuka Uvacha Evam Virinchadibhir Iditastad Vignayatesham Hridayam Yathaiva Jagada Jimota Gabhirayagira Baddhanjalin Smritva Sarvak Karakan.
Shukadeva Goswami continued, when the Lord was thus offered prayers by the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, he understood the purpose for which they had approached him. Therefore, in a deep voice that resembled the resembling of clouds, the Lord replied to the demigods, who all stood there attentively with folded hands.
So Lord already knows the predicament of all these demigods. So Lord sees whatever is there in everyone's heart. So when a devotee has some mixed desires, Lord makes him a demigod. Right? In the third canto we discussed that there are some souls who have a very pure desire to serve the Lord. And there are other souls who have a tendency to control this material nature. But there are other souls who have a mixed consciousness of both serving the Lord and also controlling the material nature. So this kind of mixed consciousness, mixed mentality will make him a demigod. Oh, you want to serve me? Okay, you can serve me. You want to control the material nature also? You become the controllers of this universal administrative system. So you exercise your tendency for controllership. In that way, you can serve me also. So these are the demigods. But for such mixed devotees, Lord fulfills those mixed desires. But for a pure devotee, Lord may not fulfill his desires if they are not good for his spiritual progress. Like that. So here, universal administrative system has to be re-established. It has become imbalanced because demons took the posts of controllers. So that is not very very much appreciated, right, for the welfare of the universe. So demigods have to be re-established in their posts. So Lord is giving that Dvija Deva Mantram. And also Lord has another internal reason. This is external reason. Internal reason is Lord also wanted to enjoy the pastimes of Samudra Manthan. Eka Eveshwaras Tasmin Surakarye Sureshwara
విహర్తుకామస్తన్ ఆహ సముద్రోన్మంథనాదిభి.
Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master of the demigod, was capable of performing the activities of the demigod by himself, he wanted to enjoy pastimes in churning the ocean. Therefore, he spoke as follows.
So, Lord wanted to enjoy the pastimes of Samudra Manthan as tortoise, as Ajita, right, as the carrier of Mandara mountain. So, you see, in this whole Samudra Manthan episode, Lord appears several times. Lord's intervention is there several times to run the whole show. He could have just removed these demons and then placed the demigods in their positions. But he didn't do anything like that. He never gave a direct solution. Right? He made them do hard work. Right? And then he's enjoying. He is enjoying the Samudra Manthan pastimes and then he's making them do hard work. He's testing their surrender at every step, how much faithful they are. So at the end of this whole Samudra Manthan episode, one nice verse comes. Right? Demigods also endeavored, demons also endeavored. But finally, the whole result was received by demigods, not the demons. Demons were simply defeated. Why? Because of the surrender of the demigods. And whenever there is some difficulty, all the demigods will go for the shelter of Krishna. That kind of dependence on the shelter of Krishna made them successful at the end. Although endeavor is there from both sides. So this is this whole Samudra Manthan pastime is reconfirming the verses spoken by Brahmaji in the previous chapter, 47, 48 verses. Right? So even if devotees do some small work also, they get great result. Demons, even if they work so hard, they will not get substantial result. They will only get frustrated. So at the end of the Samudra Manthan pastime, we will see that demigods get frustrated. And demons get frustrated. Now, let's see what is the idea given by Krishna, Vishnu. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Hanta Brahman Aho Shambho, He Deva Mama Bhashitam, Srunutvava Hita Sarve, Sreyo Vasyad Yathasura.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and other demigods, please hear me with great attention, for what I say will bring good fortune for all of you.
See, they did so much endeavor, offered so many prayers in front of the Lord, but when the Lord is speaking, when they sleep, so they will not get much benefit. So hear attentively. So hear attentively, so that is a very important word. Then that will bring so much good fortune. So we endeavor so much to go for yatra. And in yatra, when Maharaj is giving class, if somebody is sleeping, so the purpose of yatra is defeated. Right? So hearing attentively is very important. 19th. Yatadanava daityeyais tavat sandhir vidhiyatam kalena anugrahitascha vahitaistair yavad no yavadvo bhava atmana.
As long as you are not flourishing, you should make a truce with the demons and asuras who are now being favored by time.
So important. As long as somebody is not flourishing, he has to be humble. Right? He can take a and a low profile seat and then get the thing done. And sometimes we may have to meet some government officials to get our bills passed or some permissions for a project sanctioned or whatever. So we may know that somebody is a materialist, somebody is a meat eater, somebody is whatever, right? But he is in certain post. So one has to make a truce with him. One has to speak nicely with him. Right? One has to have very cordial dealings with him. Ultimately for the service of the Lord only. Right? In that endeavor, he may become a devotee. That's another important byproduct if that happens. But even if that doesn't happen, one has to
take a humble position. Aray, how can I just meet a materialist? How can I meet a government officer? Aray, for your temple, you have to do it. So that is needed. Because time is not favoring him. Authority is in their hands. You have to make a truce. Kalena means favored by time. There is another reading, Kavyena, favored by Sukracharya. So demons are favored by Sukracharya. They got their blessings. So they become powerful. Even sixth canto also, there is a similar context like this. Arayopihi sandheyah satikaryath gaurave ahimushikavaddeva hyarthasya padavim gatihi.
O demigods, fulfilling one's own interest is so important that one may even have to make a truce with one's enemies. For the sake of one's self-interest, one has to act according to the logic of the snake and the mouse.
So, logic of the snake and mouse. Lord himself gives this. Right? So, Lord is teaching Niti here. What is the Niti? The snake and mouse story. So, we need to understand, whatever Lord says is the highest Niti. Is this Niti? With an intention to defeat them, we are taking their help. And after getting the help, we'll just ditch them. So here, snake and mouse logic is simple. Once snake and mouse are caught in a small basket, right? Now snake had the very good opportunity to eat the mouse. But it will be entangled. It will be caught in the basket and some snake charmer will come and then, he's living out of this snake or remove his fangs, whatever. So snake is in danger. Mouse is also in danger. But snake made a truce with the mouse, saying that you make a hole in the basket so that I can escape and you can also escape. But snake's intention was, after making a hole, snake will eat the mouse and then escape. So similarly, after making a truce with the demons and getting the nectar out of it, demigods will take the nectar and demons will be ditched. So this is a plan approved or authorized or given, suggested by Lord Vishnu himself, right? He is Surapriya, not Asurapriya.
Amrutotpadane yatna kriyatam avilambitam yasya pitasya vaijantur mrityugrasto amaro bhavet. Immediately endeavor to produce nectar, which a person who is about to die may drink to become immortal.
So, whole endeavor is to produce some nectar. So Lord is giving an idea to get the nectar. So how does that nectar come up? That is described in the next few verses. Kshiptva kshiro dadhau sarva virutruna latoushadhihi manthanam mandaram kritva netram kritva tuvasukim sahayena mayadeva nirmantodvam atandriyataha kleshabhajo bhavishyanti daityayuyam falagraha.
O demigods, cast into the ocean of milk all kinds of vegetables, grass, creepers and drugs. Then with my help, making Mandara mountain the churning rod and Vasuki the rope for churning, churn the ocean of milk with undiverted attention. Thus the demons will be engaged in labor, but you, the demigods, will gain the actual result, the nectar produced from the ocean.
Lord is again saying this. Lord was not feeling any guilty or then just seeing, speaking to them in a low voice, keeping the mic aside, not like that. He is just declaring to everyone openly. All the demigods are there in front of Brahmaji, right? So this is required. So it appears that when different kinds of drugs, creepers, grass and vegetables are put into this milk and the milk is churned, as milk is churned for butter, the active principles of vegetables and drugs mix with the milk and the result is nectar. So ultimate result is nectar. So Vishnu emphasizes undiverted attention. The details of undiverted attention are given in the next few verses. So you have to be focused on the final result, nectar. So when we come to Krishna consciousness, we have to focus on the ultimate result, whatever, love of Godhead or perpetual service to Krishna. And if we can't be lost in small ego clashes or some other petty details, facilities, external facilities, etc. So similarly, Lord is very much emphasizing all these distractions are going to come, are bound to come. Don't be distracted by it. Right? Don't get into disputes with the demons. Right? Definitely when some attractive element is coming, they get distracted and they will be attracted there. So you don't unnecessarily get into that. You focus on the nectar. Yuyam tad anumodadham yadichanti asura sura na samrambhena siddhyanti sarvartha shantvaya yatha.
My dear demigods, with patience and peace, everything can be done. But if one is agitated by anger, the goal is not achieved. Therefore, whatever the demons ask, agree to their proposal.
So this is important. With patience and peace, everything can be done. So patience is required, peace is required, not agitation and not impatience. But if one is agitated by anger, the goal is not achieved. So many times, what is the obstacles in our devotional service? Are anarthas, anger, lust, greed, etc. So Lord is saying all this. So you be focused on the nectar, don't be angry. And demons come and make some proposals. You have to agree. You have to agree with that conditions because you are in need. They are in a better position now because now you are in need. You have to maintain a low profile, right? You can't just exercise your superiority or be attached to your opinion. Whatever they say, you should agree. Nabhetvayam kalakotad vishadjaladhi sambhavat lobhakaryo najo navo jatu roshah kamastu vastushu. He is saying avoid all anarthas. Read.
A poison known as Kalakota will be generated from the ocean of milk, but you should not fear it. And when various products are churned from the ocean, you should not be greedy for them or anxious to obtain them, nor should you be angry.
So earlier he is emphasized on patience and peace. Now he is, and also he said no anger. Now he says no bhaya, no bhita, no fear, don't be fearful. No lobha, don't be greedy for other things that may come. Okay, when Kalakota comes, don't be fearful. Okay, when other nice products come, don't be greedy. Lobha, no rosha, no anger. So then after saying this, Lord disappeared. So, O King Parikshit, after advising the demigods in this way, the independent Supreme Personality of Godhead, the best of all living entities, disappeared from their presence. Then Lord Brahma and Shiva, after offering their respectful obeisances to the Lord, returned to their abodes. All the demigods then approached Maharaj Bali. Maharaj Bali is a celebrated king of demons, knew very well when to make peace and when to fight. Thus, although his commanders and captains were agitated and were about to kill the demigods, Maharaj Bali, seeing that the demigods were coming to him without a militant attitude, forbade his commanders to kill them. So Prabhupada speaks forbade his commanders to kill them. So all the demigods, according to the plan suggested by Lord Vishnu, went to Bali Maharaj to make a truce with the demons. Bali Maharaj was the king of the demons. So, but all the demoniac commanders wanted to attack and kill them. But Bali Maharaj said, they didn't have an intention to fight with us, so let's not fight. So keep quiet. So Prabhupada speaks on the principles of guest reception. Grihe shatrum api praptam vishvastam akutobhayam. So one should, even when an enemy comes to somebody's place, he should be received so well that he forgets his enmity only. Like that. Once Prabhupada explains this story that once Arjuna went to the camp of Duryodhan to get the 5 arrows of Bhishma. So Bhishma said that with these 5 arrows tomorrow I will kill the 5 Pandavas. So Krishna suggested that you go and take those arrows from Duryodhana. Duryodhana just gave it. Okay. So on the war they are enemies. But at home, when he is hosting the guest, there is no enmity consideration. This kind of treatment was prevalent during the fight of Pandavas and Kurus also. That was the system. Then the demigods approached Bali Maharaj, the son of Virochana, and sat down near him. Right? Bali Maharaj was protected by the commanders of the demons and was most opulent, having conquered all the universes. Now all the demigods pleased Bali Maharaj with mild words. Mahendra Slakshnaya Vacha Santvayitva Mahamati Abhyabhashata Tatsarvam Sikshitam Purushottamat.
After pleasing Bali Maharaj with mild words, Lord Indra, the king of the demigods, who was most intelligent, very politely submitted all the proposals he had learned from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu.
So Bali Maharaj was hearing all that. So they very humbly presented with so much tolerance, with so much self-control. Tattva-tattva-rochata daityasya tatrantyaye suradhipaha sambarortita nemischa yechatripuravasina.
The proposals submitted by King Indra were immediately accepted by Bali Maharaj and his assistants, headed by Sambara and Arishtanemi, and by all other residents of Tripura.
So, when demigods came up with this proposal that we will together do Samudra Manthan, right, and endeavor to produce nectar and then share amongst ourselves. So, Bali Maharaj agreed to that proposal. Right, and all the demoniac commanders supported him. So earlier, when he was attacking him, when all the commanders were attacking him, Bali Maharaj stopped them. Right, they must have said, they are our enemies. Then Bali Maharaj would say, do you have Amrit? They are making a proposal to get Amrit. Right, so better not unnecessarily attack them. So let's make good advantage out of this offer. So now, neither the demigods' intentions were transparent, nor the demons' intentions were transparent, right? None of them intended to share the nectar with the other party. Both people have the similar intention that we want to have this for ourselves only. So one thing is sure, within the demons, each demon was thinking about his own self. All the demigods were thinking that about their own group, right? The demigod said, okay, we will only take. We will not give to their group. We will share it within our group. But demons were thinking that I will drink it. Right? I will not share it within my group also. So that was their intention. So Prabhupada explains, politics, diplomacy, and the propensity to cheat are also present in upper planetary systems. Even demigods also will do cheating business. Both demons and demigods were diplomatic. But the only difference is, Krishna was on the side of demigods, right? Demigods were cheating here for a higher purpose under the sanction and approval and suggestion of Vishnu, right? And for a glorious purpose of re-establishing some sanity in the universal administrative system. But demons were thoroughly for sense gratification. They were agreeing to this proposal, like that. So, happy and victorious. Now, who will come out happy and victorious? The God-conscious party. The party which is on the side of Krishna, not the godless party. Like that. 32nd verse. The demigods and the demons thereafter made an armistice between them. Then with the great enterprise, they arranged to produce nectar as proposed by Lord Indra. Some comments from His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj on this episode of Samudra Manthan about the cooperation between the demigods and demons. So there is absolutely no unity within the hearts of the demigods and demons. But in their action there is a cooperation. If the unity begins at the heart, then even if there are some little discrepancies in the action, in the endeavors, that may be okay. But their actions are united, but the hearts are totally disunited. Right? Their cooperation is totally selfish. Right? So, okay, now we'll continue. The proposal submitted by King Indra, sorry, this 32nd verse. So all the demigods and demons endeavor to execute the plan, right? A relation to continue the focus must be on, based on higher principles. Here, they have a higher principle of getting nectar, but they have some selfish intention, individual selfish intentions. So now they endeavor to get the Mandara mountain. I'm sorry, we are getting late, but we'll complete the chapter. Very few verses are remaining. Thereafter, with great strength, the demons and demigods, who were all very powerful and who had long, stout arms, uprooted the Mandara mountain. Crying very loudly, they brought it towards the milk ocean. They uprooted a big golden mountain. Gold is considered to be heavier than iron also. Right? So they uprooted it. But they couldn't carry it till the end. So initially, there is a lot of enthusiasm when we do a service. And we collapse in the middle. That happened here also. Now authority has to come and then lift us up. Right? So authority came here. Who is that? Lord Vishnu. Because of conveying the great mountain for a long distance, King Indra, Maharaj Bali, and the other demigods and demons became fatigued. Being unable to carry the mountain, they left it on the way. The mountain known as Mandara, which was extremely heavy, being made of gold, fell and smashed many demons and demigods. Then the demigods and demons were frustrated and disheartened, and their arms, thighs and shoulders were broken. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who knows everything, appeared there on the back of Garuda. So Lord knows everything there. So Lord need not get a WhatsApp message to get an update what's happening with their endeavor of getting Mandara mountain. He already knows. He just came, right, without any message. So observing that most of the demons and demigods had been crushed by the falling of the mountain, the Lord glanced over them and brought them back to life. Thus they became free from grief, and they even had no bruises on their bodies. So actually these people are frustrated and disheartened. So whenever there is some failure in the service, one will get disheartened. But if one accepts the help of a superior, then again his enthusiasm will be rejuvenated. That happens several times in the Samudra Manthan episode. Right? So Lord glanced over them and then brought them back to life. Then even the demons also. Right? He didn't... Now sometimes when we are too much enthusiastic or too much excited, at every opportunity we will focus on the result only. Ultimately the whole thing is to subdue the demons only. Okay, this is the chance. There already few people are subdued. Let's leave them. I will revive only the fallen demigods, not the fallen demons. Lord was not thinking like that. He revived both parties. Otherwise, in the beginning only, if he implements something which he has to do at the end, then that will create dissension. The whole project will not flourish. What has to be done at the end has to be done at the end only, not in the beginning. Right? He revived both of them. The Lord very easily lifted the mountain with one hand and placed it on the back of Garuda. Now you can understand the prowess of Garuda. The whole party of demons and demigods together could not lift the mountain. Lord just took it and placed it on Garuda. Right? So Garuda carried it along with the Lord. Thus he too got on the back of Garuda and went to the milk ocean, surrounded by the demigods and the demons. Right? So this is the omnipotence of the Lord. So Lord is not just powerful, he can empower anyone to do anything. Right? He can empower someone to be more powerful also. Lord himself is powerful to lift Mandara mountain. Lord empowered Garuda to carry that Mandara mountain also. Right? So Lord can empower. Actually in Damodar Leela also we learn this lesson that Nalakuvera and Manigriva, they were there. So in the form of trees, Lord, with the mortar, he had to make the trees fall down. Now, Lord may have the strength. A person may be very powerful to uproot big trees also, but he should have a proper instrument also. Can someone uproot a tree with a needle? He needs a proper axe. Similarly, to pull the trees, he needs a proper thread. He needs a proper mortar. What is this mortar in comparison to the big Arjuna trees? What is the thread, silk rope that Yashodamayi tied in front of the trees? But Krishna empowered the silk rope and the small grinding mortar, household mortar, to uproot these trees. Chakravartipada writes like that. Similarly, we may feel unable to perform certain task, certain service, but if we surrender to the instructions of superiors, that empowerment will come. Along with the instruction comes empowerment. Then one will be able to do some services. So here Lord empowered Garuda to carry such a huge mountain on his back. One bird carrying a mountain. Right? Like that. So difference between the demigods and demons, Prabhupada explains in the purport. Prabhupada says two things in this 38th purport. Difference between demigods and demons. Second is the omnipotence of the Lord. So the demons believe in the chance theory of creation. Demons would prefer to explain everything happening in the cosmic manifestation takes place by chance. But the demigods believe in the creation by the hand of God. Right? They accept everything as arrangement of Krishna. Then omnipotence. With one hand, Vishnu lifted Mandara mountain. Then demons may say it as mythology, but if God is all-powerful, why would it be difficult for him to lift a mountain? Okay, how can you call myth? If he can make planets with many mountains float in air, why can't he lift a mountain? Simple answer. Even in Lord Ram's context also, Prabhupada says, if Ram had the power to make millions of universes float in the cosmic sky, why can't he make a stone float on the river, float on the ocean, on the water? He is the controller of material nature, Mayadhyakshana Prakriti. He can control him against their natures also. Right? Now, the next verse, 39th, last verse. Avaropya giram skandat suparna patatam vara yayau jalanta utsrujya harinasa visarjita. Thereafter, Garuda, the chief of the birds, unloaded Mandara mountain from his shoulder and brought it near the water. Then he was asked by the Lord to leave that place, and he left. This is another important lesson. Garuda did so much endeavor for facilitating this whole Samudra Manthan episode. And now the most exciting event in the universe is going to happen. Churning the milk ocean with Mandara mountain. And who came together to do this? Demons and demigods. First time they are doing one united effort. No one knows whether they will do something like this later also. Right? Definitely they will not do, because demigods will cheat them thoroughly. Right? So our Garuda is made bereft of seeing all this exciting scene. Why? The reason is there. Lord knows. Because Vasuki is going to be the churning rope for this. Garuda is the king of birds, king of eagles. So it can kill Vasuki also. Snake and eagles, they can't get along with each other. So our Vishnu said, please, you need not watch the show. Right? You just get updates through your ears. Okay? Your eyes should not come in contact with this scene. So Garuda agreed. Many times when we are asked to stay away from some exciting scene, we are not very enthusiastic to do it. Even if we are reminded 10 times, you go away, you do that service. No, no, no. Here excitement is happening. I will be here only. Even if there is no service for him. So one day, one of our Vidyapit devotees, first batch devotees, so His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was giving a Bhagavatam class here. That is the first ever Bhagavatam class that Maharaj spoke, right, in GEV. I think a couple of years back. So sound system is working properly. That is a sound system devotee only. Our Nitin Savant Prabhu, what is his name? Neelakrishna Prabhu. So construction is happening. It's a Nitya Leela here. So construction was happening, there was some sound coming. So all the devotees got disturbed. But nobody got up to do something about it. But this Nila Krishna Prabhu, he immediately ran there and then stopped that construction, whatever is, event is happening, and then came back. He missed that whatever 5-10 minutes of class, first class. Every GV resident is excited that first class Maharaj is giving. But he just went and then brought. So he was appreciated for it. So many times when some exciting event is happening, we want to be a part of it, we want to see it. But Garuda, following the instruction of the Lord, had to stay away. That is another service. So nothing takes place by accident, but by his omnipotence. That is the theme of Prabhupada's purport here. Lord made all arrangements for the churning of the ocean. The Lord is Yogeshwara. By his omnipotence, he lifted the mountain. By his grace, Garuda lifted all the demigods and demons. Garuda also lifted all the demigods and demons also and brought them to the scene. He did so, along with the mountain. He did so much service, and he said, you will not be able to see Samudravantan. Out. Those who do not believe in the activities of the Lord cannot explain how things happen. Using words like accident, they take shelter of the ideas that are unbelievable. My God. Because the demons do not understand the potency of the Lord, when wonderful things are done, the demons think they are accidental. Wonders are accidental. Right? That is their explanation. So, many lessons are there in this episode. This episode is just beginning now. Next 3-4 chapters give us so many lessons. So Lord made all arrangements through his omnipotence. So nothing happens by accident. That is the main lesson that Prabhupada gives here. So and